750 episodes. 750. That's a significant number and a heck of a lot of content from this music game turned all things gaming show. From us in NorCal straight to your ears, this is still the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. This is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 750, 750, just like Jason said in the intro there, for this October the 28th of 2018. Happy Halloween, y'all out there, since I know many folks are celebrating, this weekend, because Halloween's not really a lot of fun on a Wednesday, but maybe some of you guys will be trick-or-treating or maybe playing some scary games over the week. We'll see. Anyway, say hello to our co-hosts. Welcome back to studio tonight. I know she's been on the show thanks to Radio Magic, but it's so nice to have her here in person during this work period. Say hello to Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Why do we call cookies when you bake them? Aren't they bakies?
Little bakies?
Bakies.
I don't know.
And we don't call them biscuits.
And then it could be get baked off bakies.
But not these.
It might have the wrong. By the way, this is a really funny story, actually. I don't know. Maybe it's not funny, but before we were on air tonight. So Dark Soccer made cookies to bring to the show.
Anzac biscuits.
Which was very kind of you to do. Bakies. And then she said they when she was explaining them to Loki, because Loki doesn't always eat every food you put in front of him. I might as well just say hi to Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hi.
So Loki doesn't always eat everything you put in front of him. He's what you call a picky eater, which is fine.
I'm not picky. I just have a diet that I have. And cookies are a lot of calories.
That's a convenient excuse. So anyway.
I ate cookies yesterday. It's just, you know.
All right. Anyway, fine. They were soy cookies. Anyway, Dark Sakura, in explaining them to Loki, said they were special cookies. And I was like, wait a minute. You put weed in these cookies? And Dark Sakura goes, yeah. Like, just like totally without skipping a beat. And I'm like, Jamie, you're supposed to warn. Like, you can't do that to your friends.
I thought he said wheat. they're cookies.
She thought I said wheat.
Like, yeah, they're cookies. They're made with flour.
I was like, why would you give me wheat cookies and not tell me, like, before the show?
That's an awesome thing to do for episode 750.
That's a horrible prank to play on your friends. Don't do that. That's not nice. So I don't care if it's legal in California now. Some people have issues.
There's people in this world who could use a good stoning.
Anyway, Jamie, how has the last month or so been treating you? Same TBH, same. Anyway,
it was a lot of pinball, really.
Yeah,
been trying to play my Theater of Magic and get better at it.
Yeah,
Dan's like, well, I could just show you everything. No, I want to learn it for myself. And finally, I broke down and read the rule sheet.
I keep forgetting they do make like official rules for pinball, even though like very few of us have probably ever seen them because they don't really exactly put them in arcades easily. Well, they might like hang them on the wall or something, but most people don't think to look for them.
You can get them now from the the pinball internet database or something.
The internet,
the interwebs,
anything is possible.
And then Dan and I were watching the mini Games Done Quick from TwitchCon.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. We watched the Blindfold Symphony of the Night run.
Oh, that's fun.
And just listening to the cues, though, is like, I see how he's doing it, but you still have to have a good bit of memorization in on that one.
Have you picked up the Castlevania combo pack? I forget, the Requiem or whatever they called
it.
That's on the PS4. How do you feel about the fact that they used the newer voice acting as opposed to the classic?
I don't mind.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, the old one was cheeseball and great in its own light, but, you know, I really don't mind.
Fair enough.
I just wish that they would do an HD version of the Saturn one.
Yeah, that would be nice to use kind of like that as the base. Even though it makes sense because, you know, this is PlayStation 4 that this back came out on. It makes sense. But yeah, I'd like to see the second one.
I want to play through it as Richter or Maria.
I've never gotten to play the game as Maria. So I would love to check that out.
I have to have you over. Actually, we'll have to have you over to do a Saturn stream.
That would be fun.
Of Nocturne in the Moonlight, which I still think is a better name than Symphony of the Night.
Yes, it would be a good
because
time.
It's the same as Rondo, a Nocturne. They're the same type of thing instead of just a symphony.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. Let's see. Fifth Dream says, I make cookies with coconuts, not wheat. But
these also have coconut.
I was gonna say they have both.
They're actually my dear friend JJ, who has been in the chat a few times, gave me this recipe for Anzac cookies or biscuits that were, I think, for World War II. they were made to send off because they didn't need a lot of preservative or something.
Right.
I'll have to find the official story again, but they're really delicious. They're made with coconut and rolled oats and golden syrup and baking soda.
All right.
Baking powder.
Cooking with Sakura. Anyway, just to make sure I get the full plug in there so that Bobby gets his free plug, we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. That's VOGNetwork.com. Some other comments in chat. Mega Man X400, our pal Delvin, who was here about 3 weeks ago, says, come on, episode 750. Woo, death drop. You missed a fun episode, not being able to be here when Delvin was here. It was a fun episode.
I was very sad. I was also really sad that I was so sick the day before.
Oh, yeah.
After brunch.
Oh, yeah. But we got to go. At least you got to meet him. We got to all go hang out, and that was fun.
Yeah.
It was good times. Anyway, let's get into our video game kickoff topic. We actually have like a couple smaller topics tonight. Well, first, even before the kickoff topic, the pre-kickoff topic, the singing of the national anthem part. Let's talk about the fact that we are episode 750. Like, I mean, it's kind of a landmark number. There's not a lot of gaming podcasts that have gotten this high in number.
Or have gotten this high in general.
Well, here's if you want to get technical, if they're only weekly, I mean, we've been running the longest since, 2002, just about every week. We do miss, we miss one out of every eight shows or so, just because, sickness, holiday, whatever else comes up. But as far as like, pretty regularly weekly, we're the longest running. We know that. But there are other shows that maybe are twice a week, three times a week, or shows that will do like a bunch of shows during E3 or PAX, like if they load up on interviews. So, it kind of depends on how you're counting. So I would say there's a handful of gaming shows that have probably hit around 750 just because they might do the multiple show thing, whether it's that they're multiple times a week or what have you. But regardless, I mean, we've been doing this for 750 weeks off and on. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Like, how do things look now for gaming as opposed to when we first started? Like, did you ever kind of think we'd be doing some of the stuff now with games? Did you ever think you'd be playing something like the games you're playing today? Like a DDR machine in your garage, Loki, when we first started our show way back on episode one?
I didn't know if I'd... sure. I thought I would have one by then.
Let's see. Dark Sakura, did you ever think your pinball collection would be so big?
Kind of, yeah. Because, keep in mind, it wasn't too long after we started the show that Dan started collecting the pinball.
I appreciate the Sia Tiberian chat says, you guys don't look a day over 500 episodes. That is so true. It really is. Kind of taking a look down memory lane for a minute here, because I always think this is kind of fun to see, like, well, what were we talking about back in the day? And thankfully, we have a wiki that kind of, like, helps us out, and we can go way back. Now, unfortunately, like, some episodes are so old that they haven't been, like, chronicled in the wiki yet. But if I went back to, say... if I went back to the to-go era, I think we did do an episode 50 in the to-go era. Okay, here we go. So episode 50 of our to-go podcast was on December 12th of 2005, and it covered the Xbox 360 Japanese launch. Hmm. Well, how do you guys all think that went?
Space poncherific.
They tried in Japan, probably more so than they did with the one, because they were trying to team up with certain key players. That fact that they had Mistwalker with Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon was a thing. They kind of tried, but I guess it just wasn't enough to really, the Xbox 360 and Microsoft in general just never really caught on in Japan. I think it's like kind of more of a niche
still
thing.
Hasn't
no and it still hasn't you're right it really hasn't let's see. And, Dr. Tsuya says, those are the old shows. And I know many of the earlier episodes weren't archived. I probably have MP3s of almost all of them. I mean, there's some that are probably lost forever, but I have a good many of them. Let's see. Going back to other nice big round numbers. How about episode number 200 on September 17th of 2006? We did Wii release date and price. So that's when we finally heard when the Wii was coming out.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that story this week, by the way, of the, I guess they found a GameCube version of the Wii controller?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like a prototype that, so when people were really developing for the Wii, it really was a GameCube, just duct taped to another GameCube,
mm-hmm.
in theory. Let's see what else was on that episode. DDR power previews. I don't even remember what that was. And then we did like we did an extra long episode that night because 200 was a big deal. Let's see. Let's go back to 250. I won't do every multiple of 50. We'll kind of wrap here. Episode 250. We not too big of a celebration. The wiki notes. But we hit the 250 episode mark. Stories included Halo DS. That was a Halo DS was a thing.
Yeah, there was a fan like indie fan game.
I don't even remember that. Okay, it was an indie fan game. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Right. Well, actually, I don't know. It may have been something they were considering of developing. I remember it vaguely, but like I don't remember if it was something like Microsoft was thinking about publishing this on the DS because they didn't have a platform that was portable, or if it was like
Some of the Viva Pinata stuff ended up on DS. So
yeah, so yeah. I think that may have been. I remember there was like video of it and stuff. I don't know.
Let's see, and let's see, 8-Bit the movie, and episode number 250 was also the debut of Dark Sakura's classic game of the week. Before that, we hadn't done that before. You used to have other segments. You had like what was it, website of the week, and you had. Some advice column thing that you like, don't set yourself on fire. I don't remember what it was. It was like weird.
I should do an advice column again.
Should you? You want to bring that back?
Yeah, maybe I should do like a Dear Abby thing on our website. It's called like Ask Dark Sakura.
There you go. Now that's good content to bring people to our website. You should think about that.
Ask Dark Sakura some shit.
All right. There you go. I love it.
Don't be an asshole.
Let's see. I'll do one
Raise
more.
Raise your hand in chat if you want me to do that.
I'll do one more. Let's see. Oh, you know what's funny is it just if my screen froze for a minute on episode 285, that was the Tommy Tallarico week. That was when he came on a show. Well, I bring that up because we had the Intellivision news last week.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I sort of remember that, but...
You don't remember when he came on the show?
I sort of remember that.
It was
that.
Like a six-hour-long show. You think the show is long usually. That episode went all night.
That man can talk.
He can, but he's great. He loves what he does. What can you say? It's not a bad thing.
Bring
whatsoever.
Him on again.
I will definitely send him an email as an invite. Although it'd probably be better to get a little closer to when you know the Amico has a little more to show.
Sorry, when the show's over, Amico will be out.
Let's see. My screen is freezing up over here, but let me see if I can, because I'm on this ancient computer, which by the way,
powers of Windows XP.
I should say this too. We're not going to be able to use Skype on this machine after next week. So tonight may be the last night you can use Skype to call into the show. I don't know yet, or at least for a little bit. We have to just take a break from Skype. We have to see some other people for a little bit. Until we get the new computer and all that set up for the new studio. We'll see. All right. On the 500th episode of OLR, our wiki says some features of the original Wii are going offline. So episode 250 was the Wii is coming out. Episode 500 was the Wii is going offline. I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. And then Tomb Raider got a Japanese language pack. For $30, so you could play the game in Japanese for a price, and I think that was a pretty big controversy that was going on at the time. And we did Match Game on episode 500. We haven't played one of our little games in quite some time. We used to be really known for those. We just kind of, I mean, without Dark Sakura being here regularly, we haven't really been able to do listless as much. And you know, we used to do more of those games when our studio would really be full of people. Because in the early days of OLR, especially like those years that you and I lived in that apartment, like I felt like we had like 7 people on the show every week. It was nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, so the games
with
were
that webcam with the one frame every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Now we're talking about moving back to Twitch. Y'all, for a while, you used to go to our website, orangelounge.com, and we had a webcam picture that would refresh once every, like, 15 seconds. So...
Powers of the internet.
I know, right? And now it's like, well, we're going back to it.
What? The stream is only 30 frames per second. Well, that's just terrible.
I love it. All right. Anyhow. Let's get into some kickoff topics for tonight. Let's talk about Nintendo Labo in schools. So Nintendo Labo is apparently going to be a part of some curriculums. They're saying a Labo is going to be integrated in 100 U.S. classrooms throughout the current school year. This according to a Nintendo announcement with the nonprofit Institute of Play. Students in grades 2 through 4 are going to be able to build Labo projects, focusing on the basic concept of STEAM, communication, creativity, critical thinking, and problem solving. You can apply to join the program if you happen to be a teacher. I know we actually have gamer teachers listening to the show. You can go to the Institute of Play's website and you can be a part of this program. If you're selected, you get guidance from Nintendo and the Institute, a companion teacher guide that has a whole curriculum in it, and the whole other, like I guess the actual guide will be made available to free for anyone later in the year. So that's kind of cool. The Institute of Play does want to do a diverse group of schools around the U.S., urban, suburban, rural areas, and so forth. So what do you guys think about Labo being used in the classroom? You know, I remember when Nintendo first announced Labo, it was kind of like, it kind of got some mixed reaction, I think, from the gamer fans. But I think there were definitely those of us that looked at that and said, well, it's not really meant to be a game. This is Nintendo's way to kind of find another niche in the toy market. This is kind of like the reverse of toys to games. It's games to toys.
It's neat. It's like, it reminds me of like those Lego, the robotic sets that they have, you know, where they do a lot of, I've seen like different, you know, classes through, you know, it could be schools or it could be just like the most random one I've seen is they have this place called Bounce U, which is like one of those bounce house places that you go and jump on bounce houses for like an hour. But then they also do like this like robotics camp or like night out thing where like you can drop your kids off and they build robots using the Lego Mindstorm stuff. It's kind of like that, except it's Labo, and I don't know if, I mean, granted the software is pretty good, but I don't know how easy it is to create these new things versus like putting bricks together.
Yeah. Now you've got a young kid, but like your kid is not quite at the age where they're doing this type of like educational gaming in the classroom yet, right?
He has his own, well, usually he would have his own Chromebook in the class.
Oh, wow.
So they do like something on that. I don't know what he does exactly on that, but like they do like typing and they earn credits doing things on there to play like educational games, I guess. For like so long, so they can like, he tends to save all of his credits to like play like an hour of games at a time.
Okay, that's, I guess that's good. He's learning investment early on. That's good.
So,
that's a good thing.
I mean, so they have like Chromebooks and stuff in classes. So.
Okay, because I remember, you know, back in my day when I was a kid, it was all about, you know, when we were in what, like the fourth grade. I think it wasn't until like the fourth grade I remember going to the computer lab to play the Oregon Trail and Number Munchers. And I remember taking like a
logo.
I remember taking a nighttime class. It was about logo and that stuff. It was like an enrichment thing. So remember my dad went with me to something like that.
Was Logo
was
the
like
turtle
summer.
One?
Yeah, Logo was the turtle. Okay. It was like learning how to program. And so that way you think about flow charts and design and things like that. It's actually,
yeah, I don't think we ever got that far. It's more of like, okay, put these commands in.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get? You know, it's like, okay.
Go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, the only way Labo is a good idea is if they give it to the school without making the teachers buy it. Well, I would assume if Nintendo is in on this, it's not something teachers are going to have to buy.
I'm curious to see what it is. Like, the idea doesn't sound terrible, but it's just, I don't know. Like, if it's just a software and, like, some specific kits, like, okay, here, you can make this thing out of it, that's fine. It's kind of, you can be creative and stuff with it. But at the same time, like, I think, like, it would be more intuitive, like, for, like, Arduino or something like that. Like, for example, someone we know, Mr. Punk Knight, you know, he is a teacher in middle school, and he teaches computer science and stuff. And so he actually does, like, Arduino and robotics and 3D printing stuff in his class.
Wow.
So, like, you know, like, that, that was in, like, an elective when I was back in, you know, junior high, I would have taken that shit. I took, the best I could do was American Technologies, which was like an engineering class, and mechanical drawing, which, you know, it's like drafting and stuff.
We didn't have any sorts of, my elective, like all throughout high school was band, which I mean, I don't regret.
Band. Women yeah, power. I mean,
you're a fellow band geek too. Bobby Blackwolf's a fellow band geek. Like, you know, us band geeks turned out okay, and I think still kind of have a lot of overlap with gaming and all that stuff.
Remember, it ain't a party until the contra alto clarinet player shows up.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that there was that running joke in that movie American Pie, where this one time at band camp, because it's all true.
We nerds were freaks. We didn't have like a camp that you went to like that. We had a swamp in the backfield at school that we would just march in.
Oh, we had band camp, but it wasn't like you went away for 3 days. It was band camp, with my quotey fingers, was that 3 days, like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before the school semester started. You went
only 3 days?
I think it was only 3 days.
Ours are 2 weeks.
Wow, that's, well, we did the 3 days, and then we also did like one night a week through the rest of the year, like an extra like field practice, because that's how we learned the field shows, basically. You know, which the field show in band is when they do all those little patterns out on the football field. You guys have all seen that before.
Yeah, no, so. we did 2 weeks. There was like marching fundamentals, and then we would learn the show and memorize a lot of our music.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's, well, this show did start as a music gaming show, and I think, like, music games in some ways, I don't want to say it was really, like, the gateway that got me into games, because I was playing games before music games, but, like...
I'm still waiting for Sax Maniacs.
Music games really made me love video games in a whole other way. I don't know if that makes sense. Kind of made me find
they
a community.
Did finally make Sitar Hero.
Hmm.
It actually, though, wasn't, like, a real game. It was a Flash game on the Love Guru website.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for that terrible movie.
I know, but it was still funny. Yeah. Sitar Hero.
Exactly.
Because how long did we joke about it?
So, I mean, what would you guys like to... What do you guys think gaming could do? And I open this up to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. It doesn't just have to be Labo. But what types of games do you think could help people learn? What do you think are some good, like, learning types of games that kids could be playing? You know, when I was in junior high school, we used to just kind of on our lunch, we used to play... Scorched Earth.
I was thinking the same thing, yes.
Right? Do you remember that?
Scorched Earth.
And that's when you would learn about angles and velocity. So everybody's played a game like Scorched Earth, I'm sure, like years ago. There was another, was it Tank Wars was the other big one that used
Gorillas.
To? Which is basically all of these games, Worms. Like, right? Worms is kind of like what
worms
that was.
Great.
But Worms, now you could like move the worms and you wouldn't really move the tank.
We could do that in Scorched Earth, too.
I guess that's right. You get like little developments for the tanks and you can move them, right? So anyway... Those, like, Scorched Earth was all about being able to, like, shoot the nuke over the hill, and you got to get the right velocity and angle, and it was actually kind of fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we learned a lot playing that game, but, like, our science teacher used to love to let us come in and use the computers to play Scorched Earth on lunch. He thought it was hilarious. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they could play. I mean, I know that Minecraft has its own, like, they have a whole programming thing that you can do with Minecraft as well, because there's yeah. the whole Redstone stuff. So they actually have, like, a coding with Minecraft thing. I mean, I don't know. I think, like, there could be other tools that they could make that be able to do, like, something. I don't really know what we're trying to teach our children is what I'm thinking. You know, a lot of it's just, like, depends on the age. Like right now, you know, it's more of like, okay, typing skills, you know, maybe like a second language.
Do they teach your kids how to write as much as they teach them how to type?
They teach them how to write more than typing. Typing's more of like, here's your login to this, you know, typing site.
Because I would swear that cursive is going to become a lost art. I would, like, being able to write cursive, like, that seems like the type of thing that, like, in like 30 years, maybe I'm just being crazy, but like, is it just me? But does it seem like cursive is one of those things? How often do you write in cursive?
When I sign my name.
Yeah, when I sign my name. That's it. When I sign my name, I write in cursive. Do you ever write in cursive, Darkcyra?
All the time, actually.
What? Of course she does. Of course she does. It's always Jamie when there's something.
I
like,
was writing
who does
cursive
this anymore?
Before it was popular.
Well, and like.
She used her hammer and chisel to do it.
Well, no, but I'm also going back and trying to learn proper calligraphy. Oh. Because, I mean, to me, it is kind of an art form.
I could see it as, like, an art. If you have an artistic interest, then absolutely, like, cursive and calligraphy. I'm not trying to, like, slam cursive, but I'm just saying, like, in the real world, how often do you use cursive outside of signing your name? Because now it's typing. You got to know how to type. You have to know how to type.
Well, when I hand take notes, it's actually kind of funny because sometimes I will switch in between using cursive and script. In the middle of my notes or writing letters, or I'll combine the letters because they're easier to handwrite in cursive. than they are in print, especially after, you know, having three hand surgeries. Although I also will sometimes find that I've started writing my notes backwards. I mean, complete backwards mirror image, because I can do that and it happens sometimes.
Okay. So. Hey, work. Bob Coffey in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, educational games should also teach critical thinking because a lot of today's kids are fucking morons. Well, yeah, that seems to be a very broad stroke. But yes, they do need to teach critical thinking. I mean, I was just thinking the other day about, like, are we teaching our kids in schools how to spot fake shit on social media? And how to, like seriously, like, I don't mean to get all, like, political, but, like, I would think in this day and age, you want to teach people at a young age how to spot fake shit online, because there's a lot of it.
I think that they should go back instead of making, like, debate part of, you know, like, an extracurricular thing, uh-huh, or making it part of, like, a particular class. Mm-hmm. They should teach rhetoric.
Mm.
Now, the communication class that I was in was, like, a group debate, mm-hmm, class in college, but my professor was actually had his master's in rhetoric.
Hmm.
And part of what rhetoric teaches is how to decide what is a fallacious argument, you know, how to point out when you're heading into a fallacy, like slippery slope arguments, straw man arguments, you know.
Let me steer us back on course a little bit, because even though this is a good conversation,
but I'm
it is games.
That's something that should be.
Yeah.
Taught.
Is there a way we could use games to do that?
There could be games for that. There could be, you know, spot the fallacy. I mean, I would play a game like that, because, mm-hmm, I do that all the time anyway on Facebook.
You do it for free.
I do it for free. Why not make a game out of it? I'd like a high score for, you know, pointing out idiocy.
I remember playing a game on my Commodore 64 that was about running for president and the things you had to do in different states to get electoral votes. And it taught you, like, by playing this game, it taught you about, like, how the Electoral College worked and all that. And look, I know that's a controversial thing, but it's the way it is, so you should learn about it. You should learn how your government works, whether you agree with it or not, right? So, like, this game on the Commodore, like, taught me about all that. And I think, you know, those are the types of things that I think are really cool when a game sort of helps you, like a video game helps you learn some of these more, like, complex things, like in history and all that. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Well, especially the further down the road you
went
with those games.
Where in Time was great.
Yeah, Where in Time, you started to really learn historical things. Same thing with I think there was Where in the USA, Where in the World, and there was another one. I don't remember what it was. Like, I felt like it was Where in Time. I guess it was. There was more you would actually learn about, like, history and the Earth.
But now it's kind of hard to go back and play those, because I actually tried, like, to pick up, you know, Where in the World. And it was because our geography has changed so much, and, you know, some of those countries don't even exist anymore. Mm. It's something that they should absolutely update and keep that series fresh.
Our chat room's lighting up with some great comments. I can't read these all, but you guys are having a good discussion in there. Thank you. And looking at chat at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwell started off mentioning the Assassin's Creed Origins had the educational version where you'd learn about Egyptian mythology. That was kind of a recent thing, and I thought that was kind of like a neat little side thing you could do.
I did actually bring this up when Assassin's Creed 2 was out, that my art history teacher used screenshots from Assassin's Creed 2 to talk about Renaissance Italy.
Yeah.
Because it actually had a very, as she put it, a very accurate layout of what, you know, the Vatican was supposed to be like then, or however it was, and where all these buildings were laid out.
Right. Yeah. I imagine Assassin's Creed has a lot of value in teaching art history. You know, because when the designers make this game, they immerse themselves in it. They have to teach themselves about all of this. So
I just remember reading about how for whatever this last one that came out was, where they were actually having to go in and study, like, Spartan and Greek.
Odyssey is the Greek one.
Lifestyles, so that they could accurately do costumes. Now, some of them they had to tweak, you know, to make them work, but where they were going in and trying to make them as historically accurate as they could possibly be, and they were consulting with historians. And I think that we need more of that.
I want to read one more comment in chat, because I think this is important, and then we'll go on to another kickoff topic we have, because this is supposed to be a short one, but it's a good discussion. SG100 Matt says, my girlfriend is a school teacher, and her feeling is that it's hard to make a game for kids that will get them engaged in it. Part of the reason is that kids are smart and know when they're trying to be catered to. Games that are overly educational seem lame to a lot of kids. It's all about hitting those things that kids like about games and helping them to retain the knowledge they learn from a game. And that brings up a good point. How do you make educational games not lame? What was it about things like Number Munchers and Oregon Trail from our era? What made those games cool to play that didn't feel lame? I'll say this. I think in Oregon Trail, what made that game like not lame was that you had that whole little side thing. Well, not only could your friends die of dysentery, that was huge, right? You would put in like your friends and your frenemies. Yeah. So like you put in like Dark Sakura, and then like somewhere along the line, like Dark Sakura, you know, and you try to ford the river and Dark Sakura drowns, and you laugh because your friend drowned, even though it's kind of morbid. Sorry, Dark Sakura. But she's done it to me, I'm sure. So anyway, but there's also those sequences where like you would go hunting for the buffalo. And so that was like the arcadey part of the game. So it's like they made a little like arcade-ish, which, you know, not that the shooting game was that complicated, but it was reminiscent of Atari games.
Number Munchers was kind of like that too.
Yeah, Number Munchers really felt like you were playing an arcade game.
Yeah, they were all pretty arcadey. And back then, the quality was like, this is basically just a game, but you know, it's education-based type thing.
And so maybe, you know, kind of piggybacking on what Dark Sakura said a minute ago about, you know, the Assassin's Creed and all that, and somebody in chat brought up the fact that there's actually historical notes that you can look at as you're playing Assassin's Creed. Maybe that's one way to do it, is to kind of put a little more education in the games that we already enjoy. I don't know.
I really want to see more things like that happen. And on top of that, too, now, and there's people who are going to argue against this, but I'd like to see a lot more social commentary in games. As in, you know, illustrate what terrible things happened in the past. You know, base a game around, you know, tragic events. You know, not necessarily to make light of those events, but to bring light to those events. Because, I mean, you've got a lot of people who are now trying to deny certain things in history happened and doing revisionist history.
Right.
When the phrase still stands, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Hello, world, right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that we really should have a lot more historical commentary in light of what goes on today.
You know what? That's one thing I always really liked about GamerX, you know, the years that was around. It wasn't just necessarily like LGBTQ plus type games. But I felt like there were a lot of games that had something to say with social commentary with them. I feel like that era, like when we were attending, you know, that show, we saw a lot of games that were coming out that were not just, you know, games from a perspective, like the Fragments of Him or something, which allows you to experience, you know, a story, you know, from a different perspective that might not be yours. But I remember playing this game that was like a puzzle game, and it was about trying to arrange three people sleeping on a bed, because it was kind of a social commentary. And I'm not saying it's a social, you have to agree with it or you don't agree with it. It's a reflection of a social commentary on triad relationships. You know, whether you get it or not, this is some people's lives, right? Absolutely. You know, and things like, and I know this game carries a lot of other weight out there, but if you look at the game isolated by itself, a game like Depression Quest, why did that game have the social impact that it did? And ultimately, this whole other that came up as a result, right? But I mean, if you go back to just the game itself, which was a text adventure game, it was a social commentary on this thing that not everybody has necessarily experienced. And it was a way for you to kind of like put yourself in the shoes. And I think a lot of our problems in the world would be solved if we could just walk in somebody else's shoes for a little bit. But not all of them.
Basic empathy is something that
a lot of people lack.
And is not encouraged for people to have on top of that. If we had a little bit more focus on being able to relate and being empathetic to other people, I'm positive we wouldn't have. Well, actually, I'm even going to go another layer beyond that. If history were accurately taught, you know, I was lucky enough that I had teachers who would say, okay, this in your history book, it's wrong. Here's what happened. If you had more people who were willing to step away from a curriculum and actually teach real things. Yes, this is what really happened. Yeah, your book says this, but really, these people came in and killed all these people, or this happened. It wasn't just, you know, friendly handshake and everyone was, you know, suddenly pals. You know, I think that those things need to be taught younger and younger, and then teach about, you know, where empathy comes in, the good that comes from being a compassionate human being, so that it can hopefully, well, and on top of that, to teach proper sexual education so that we don't have a bunch of asshole rapists who don't know where babies come from. You know, it's just this cult of stupidity that people are fostering. And I honestly think that our video games could play such a role mm-hmm. in combating that.
Mm-hmm.
Really make them fun, but put the lesson in. If you've got to be sneaky about it, fucking be sneaky, but put it in there.
All right. A good note to end on with that topic, but we could probably spend 3 hours talking about this topic alone, but great discussion, and thanks everybody in our chat. I have another kickoff topic before we get to our gaming week, because there's two things I wanted to bring. I thought that would be a short one. I didn't think we'd have a lot to say, but who knew? I want to also talk about TwitchCon, because TwitchCon happened this past weekend. I'm really heartbroken I couldn't go, because it was just 2 hours away, but there was so much going on this weekend that was just, it was quite frankly, with all due respect, more important than TwitchCon. For example, yesterday was Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org got married, so congratulations and all that to him and his new husband, and wish them all the best. Also, I hosted Rocky Horror last night, which is why my voice is a little bit today, because there was all that going on. So unfortunately, I couldn't get to TwitchCon just because I had these other things going on. But I was certainly watching from home, and I was looking at all the pictures and experiencing big time missing out syndrome. But it happens. But then I also was listening about some of the announcements. And I know, as somebody who has done some streaming on Twitch and hopes to do more with this show on Twitch in the future, I was very curious what they had to say with some of the announcements. One of the biggest announcements they made at the Twitch keynote was that there will be a squad stream feature. In a nutshell, it's Mixer's co-stream feature finally making its way over to Twitch. The minute Mixer unleashed that, we were kind of wondering, how long before Twitch does something like that? Here we are. So you'll be able to stream with up to four people in a single view, which when you go to any of the channels, you will see basically the quad view. The chat is all linked, which I think is pretty cool. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Chat is linked to whatever channel is your main view. So you can kind of go to, you know, camera one, camera two, whatever you want to do. Select streamers, they say, will we get to test this out later this year. They're doing changes to the highlight editor, so you can do, like, multiple moments in one highlight as opposed to just, like, everything having to happen all in a row. It just sounds like you kind of, like, string your clips together. It just kind of sounds like an improvement there. This sounds really exciting for discoverability for those of us that are a little more up and coming. The Twitch homepage plans to feature new partners and affiliates, streamers local to the viewer, which is kind of interesting, up-and-coming streamers, which, again, was something Mixer did that I always kind of liked. Interesting how this competition is now kind of causing some, you know, developments.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. And then they're also talking about VIP badges is going to be something new, so you can actually make somebody a VIP member of your community. So, like, if somebody maybe doesn't have the dollars to be able to subscribe, you can make them, you know, if depending on how much you stream, you can make so many VIP members, and they get a special acknowledgement. They get a special badge just for being there. It's like a, you know, a VIP, somebody that is always there and supporting you. And I know there's a few people I would definitely, like, want to give this to. Some good moderator tools. This is more for the big channels that are consistently having to time out, kick, ban people. This will allow them to keep like, it's basically like we can keep notes. So, like, you know, let's say, you know, we can make a note on Bobby Blackwolf's file that, like, he was starting an argument about Chrono Trigger versus Super Metroid, and I had to give him a timeout for 5 minutes. I can make a note in the file there, and so that way, like,
it's going in your permanent record.
That's right.
Record,
I'm putting
Bobby.
This in your record, Bobby. And then that way, if somebody saw that later on, like, oh, he's doing it again. That's strike two, you know, or whatever. We could make notes on that. So I don't even have IRC open at the moment as I'm reading. I don't even want to see what Bobby's screaming in chat in response to that. Let's see. Also, for subscribers, you get to see exactly how long without it necessarily being consecutive months. And then I think the other big thing is with extensions, they're partnering with Snapchat and the Snap camera. So you can do Snapchat filters on your Twitch stream, which sounds a little silly. Like, I have no need for those types of things. But I guess if maybe you're more of a social, ask me anything, fun channel or whatever, then maybe you have a little more use for these. But I think it's a little bit silly myself. But Loki, would you use some Snapchat filters as you play DDR?
I don't think that would work well.
Make yourself the little puppy dog face as you're dancing.
I think that would be all sorts of broken, but yeah, sure, why not?
One last thing. The bounty board is going to be expanding. So certain affiliates and partners get to use the bounty board to earn more money. And I think this really, it really sounds like game companies that are willing to give you, like, a copy of the game and even maybe some kickback, some ad dollars, basically, for playing the game, not being negative on it. Like the little screenshot example that they show says Assassin's Creed Odyssey brought to you by Ubisoft. Game key included with bounty activation. And then basically you have to stream it for an hour straight with an average of a certain amount of viewers. If you don't hit the average, you get a proportional percentage of the payout. So that's kind of interesting. It says no needless bad mouthing of the content. Be sure to engage with the content in your community. And then you have a bounties widget and you have to turn on the past broadcasts and so on and so on. So like they're not telling you what to say, but they, you know, it makes sense. If the company's going to be sponsoring you, you can't just sit there and bag on what a terrible game it
unnecessarily,
is.
Unnecessarily, I
guess. Yeah, it has to be criticism with purpose, basically. But I would think if you're doing one of these, you do have a responsibility to disclose, hey guys, we're checking out a bounty provided to us by Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft today, so I wanted to check this game out with y'all. Let's take a look. You know, you want to disclose it's an ad, basically. Hashtag ad, right?
I'd do it.
Yeah, I think that sounds kind of exciting. So it'll be interesting to see what levels they kind of let people participate that with. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat is actually mentioning on a serious note. I mean, he's poking fun at the Chrono Trigger thing, but on a serious note says, I had total FOMO, fear of missing out, on not going to TwitchCon. When do we squad stream Forza Horizon 4? Day one that it's out. The only problem is you're going to be competing with Delvin and I streaming Mario Kart 8. So that's going to be a big week.
I could stream Mario Kart 8 too.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I
think I'm just going to make it a point to stream nothing new.
Well, there's nothing wrong with playing retro titles.
It's old.
Why not?
I want like, not like old. I want like PS1 era.
Go for it.
I think.
There's people that will watch it.
I have been thinking about switching up to 4th Plus on my machine. And I was like, you know, once I do that, I've got to invite Rob over. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Shoot, I want to play some 4th Plus.
Yeah, we need to do it. Maybe we need to do like
DDR'd in age.
An OLR midweek stream.
I wonder how
see, here's
I would
what
play.
I want to do. Like, I'm so disappointed, like, because I always have to carry the brunt of the kids. But next week, they're doing the whole Extra Life stuff.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday. So I was like, man, it'd be awesome to be able to just, like, play a DDR all day and stream it. But
that's a lot of DDR.
Well, I wouldn't be doing like doubles nonstops constantly. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, easier stuff. Let's figure that out. I mean, this week might be a little crazy because of Halloween, but maybe in 2 weeks, why don't I come over and we'll do like a stream? I'll come guest on your stream or something.
Sure.
And you get me a 4th Mix Plus.
I have the image and the seat, the drive. I just have to install it.
All right. We'll make that happen. So anyway, exciting things happening with Twitch thanks to TwitchCon. And I hope everybody that went had a great time. I know Jason, who does all the voiceovers here. If you noticed tonight's voiceover was very good, but you'll notice he kind of didn't address the news. He just said, hooray, they made it, because he did that in advance because he's at TwitchCon. So he knew he'd be there this weekend. So he kind of gave us something we could use tonight. It's a little more generic and not targeted at the news this week since he wouldn't know what was going to come up in the news. So I know Jason's there and having a good time. So maybe we'll hear from him a little more about what it was like on the ground. And I know some streamers that I watch and interact with went. So hopefully we'll get to go next year. Just wasn't in the cards this year. Please don't pick Halloween weekend next year, you guys. Please don't pick Halloween weekend. And it's, you know what else is terrible about Halloween weekend? Next week is BlizzCon. And then the week after that, or 2 weeks after that, is Final Fantasy Fan Fest, which I realize not as many people are into, but I am. So it's like, back-to-back-to-back stuff. So crazy. Anyway, let's get into our gaming weeks. Let's talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Darkstalker, how was your gaming month?
God. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still playing Idle Pouring. I've gotten back into playing a lot of Bejeweled because this is going to sound stupid, but it really helps me relax right before bed. And I'm also, I've got my WoW subscription, but I haven't played in a while, which I really should now that people I know are playing, and I kind of want to move my Demon Hunter over to Proudmoore. I just need, you know, a guild to be in on Proudmoore, other than the one I have. I need an alliance guild.
Talk to Delvin, because he's the one that hooked me up. Yeah,
I will.
We also, you know, there's also communities. There's not just guild, but communities.
Yeah, but I want to be in a guild.
But I know. But also, I was thinking anyway, just set up a community. And somebody had the brilliant idea.
I think that was me.
Was it
we
you?
Had that conversation.
Yes, you. It's called a Death Cake.
Call it Death Cake.
After our old Final Fantasy XI guild that we all used to play in. So
because other than that, I wanted to call it Link Shell.
Yeah. I like that.
Because that would have been funny.
That's good.
But I've been playing a lot of Theater of Magic because I fucking love Theater of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be selling a couple of our tables. Local people, hit us up. And then I'm trying to consider what I want to stream from PS1 or Saturn era. And I'm leaning towards Symphony of the Night for Saturn.
For Maria. Do the Maria stuff, because I've never really seen that. I'd be into that.
Maria can steamroll through the game. Because all she needs... Well, actually, one of her spells is super hard to control. And that's the Sadie one. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know in Rondo how she has her little animal friend attacks? Rob?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in Symphony, she has, like... They all are like magic attacks, and she can summon like a big dragon that you can control over the screen. It is insane.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a firebird instead of her little sparrows. It's pretty intense. Except, you know, it's just not as pretty, honestly enough, as the PlayStation 1, which is really stupid given that Saturn had a better 2D processor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to decide. I'm also kind of thinking of getting out, you know, a translation guide and playing through Blue Seed RPG. I don't know. So,
all right,
we'll see.
All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
My week was mainly just a lot of Dance Dance Revolution. So I was streaming most of this week after work, doing my I ended up being about 45 minutes to 50 minutes a day. So I catch that at twitch.tv/LokiOLR, and then beyond that, Pokemon Go. I've been playing a bit of that, and then also a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2, which is an excellent game. So I've been hopefully going to get into more of that. It was funny that I actually realized that when I was downloading that, making sure of course I had enough hard drive space because I have a Pro with a 1 terabyte on there and only had 500.
I have a Pro too, and it's already full. So
yeah, well,
it happens.
I haven't been downloading a ton of stuff lately, but I noticed that a lot of my VR stuff was on there. I was like, oh crap, I should re-download this crap. So I did that, and then I meant to play some PlayStation VR as well, but I didn't get around to that, unfortunately. Yeah. Lots of stuff I need to get around to, but I just haven't bothered yet. And on the DDR side, of course, it sounds like I'm going to be putting Fourth Mix Plus on my machine now, which is fine because I've been it's a little stale with Extreme all the time. It'd be nice to go back and play some of the older stuff. I do miss not having my 1.5 speed, and I have to remember now with the Vivid, Vivid was, what was it, the solo air? I don't even know what.
Came up after was Third Mix.
Right, I remember that. Vivid was a Third Mix, but I'm trying to think of what mods I used to put on there when I was playing normally. And I remember I had the Pocket Station do custom nonstops. So I don't have a memory card slot in my machine, which is unfortunate. And I had the opportunity to purchase one for $150. I passed up on that. Now the only cheapest one I could find now is $350, which I'm not buying, especially since I'm planning on switching my machine over to a Stepmania machine at some point. So I've actually been starting the prep work for that and the software side, picking out what I want and theme wise and everything. So that'll be coming at some point soon, hopefully. And then more Red Dead. I want to stream actual Red Dead and stuff and find a place to do console and PC streaming in my garage, but I don't have a lot of room in there, and it's kind of full of garbage right now, and I need to
You could get rid of the garbage.
You know, you think that would be easy, but a lot of it is a lot of it is my stuff,
No, I understand. Our garage is a disaster. Our house is a disaster.
Like, all my Rock Band stuff just sitting on the side. You should play Rock Band, But, I have to move my 3D printing stuff out of the way and probably have some room there. Plus, there's no heat in the winter, so that'll be not as great, but better than the summer.
Yeah, better
than
summer.
I'll take cold over hot.
Yeah. You can always wear layers. All right, my gaming week. Honestly, because, again, I haven't been buying a lot of new games lately. just because I've been trying to watch the finances. It's just because of some personal stuff. I would say I've been playing more World of Warcraft, which I never thought I would like be playing it this much, but I've just kind of been into it. And I finally kind of hit a point where I was kind of, I got my Brewmaster Monk up to about level 60, and then I was like, I need to get back to trying to do the end game stuff. So I finally used my boost on a Warlock. And so I started playing Warlock just the other night, and I'm loving how fast things melt. Like, I forgot how much easier it is to quest as DPS as it is a tank or a healer. So that's been really great, and I'm liking Warlock so far. So I hit level 111 earlier this weekend, so making my way up slowly to 120, which I'll hopefully hit before too long, so that would be very nice. Otherwise, I'm also still playing Pokemon Go. I just got my little reward, the Spiritomb. I just got that from the quest that they gave you for Halloween. So I just got that today because I finally... You know how you have to do 108 Pokemon with berries, right? Well, if you weren't
that
already aware...
That was annoying.
Did you already finish it? Because yeah. Guess what? After you do that, you get to do 108 more.
I did that.
Oh, good. Oh, so you got your spirit tomb
as
well?
So I have my poofy, weird-looking thing.
Nice, nice. You know what's funny is I have that, but I still am stuck on that quest that is visit 8 Pokestops you haven't visited before.
Did that. Finished it today.
Oh, nice, because guess what? I got 7 yesterday at the wedding, and I need one more.
I got one in on Florin.
Mm-hmm.
I got 6 in Old Town Elk Grove.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of stuff
down there.
I never
went down there before.
Yeah,
so and then I got the last one downtown around the corner from the LGBT center.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of stuff downtown. I can find one easy. It's just a matter of being, honestly, I don't think I've been over to the big park in Rancho Cordova. I don't think I've spun the stops over there since the game started tracking it. So, you know what? I can probably just go over there. It's not a big deal. It's just taking the effort. When
You have to spin new stops.
You have to do, well, the weird thing is you get the Spiritomb from when you catch the 108 Pokemon, but part of the quest chain is still, you have another quest where you have to spin 8 Pokestops you haven't spun before.
Oh, see, that would be a nice one. I just went to Santa Clara.
Yeah, right,
where it was all new stuff anyway. I mean, there's still plenty of places I haven't been.
Yeah, well, and I'm going to Vegas in a couple weeks, and I'll get a billion Pokestops I haven't got before there, but then that quest will be kind of gone. I'm sure I'll get one more stop I haven't been to yet at some point. I'm sure that's inevitable. So
I still need to trade a Pokemon for one of the ones I have now, because I'm on the 6 or whatever.
I can trade you a garbage Pokemon if that's all you need.
Well,
it's
I think I need the trade. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, whatever. Just trade. Catch something on the house and trade it to me. It's easy.
Oh, I've got plenty of stuff.
There you go. We'll figure.
I had a Duskull that was, well, I think I threw it away. I had a shiny Duskull, but
I gave you Unknown from Dragon Con, right?
No.
Okay, done. I'll give you an Unknown from Dragon
Con. All right, woo!
Because I need to get rid of those. I have so many of them in my inventory. All right. Anyway,
like another.
Well, yeah, I gave you one.
You gave
me
the D.
Okay. Yes, right. I gave you the D. It's the only time in my life I've ever given Jamie the D.
It's the only time in my life I've ever wanted the D. Also, it was kind of cute.
Oh, thank you.
She thought his D was cute.
We are talking about unknowns that were caught at Dragon Con. Thank you very much. Anyway, I guess that's it for my gaming week. Let's get into some gaming news. Some announcements real quick, actually, before we do news. We will not be here on November 18th. So that is a few weeks away. That is right before Thanksgiving. I will be at the Final Fantasy Fan Fest in Vegas, and that is the day we're coming back. So I won't get back in time for the show, sadly. So no show that week. Okay, let's get into some gaming news. Loki.
So this is kind of funny that I just read that they're doing this, because I thought it already was on PC. In fact, I almost bought the Game Pass when I got Forza. But apparently this is a new thing. So Microsoft is considering, or they're intending on expanding the Xbox Game Pass program to PC as well. Apparently they said that with the increased growth of gaming rising, or their revenue rising 44%, that they are, and their service earnings increased by 36%. This is coming out of their financial year 2019 quarter one earnings report, that they're going to, this rise in earnings, led them to discuss, hey, maybe we should actually expand this, you know, cross-platform like we are doing with their other games. And so with that, you know, they said that it would fall under the titles that would be the Xbox Play Anywhere label. And so with that, you would get, you know, like Forza Horizon 3, 4, Gears of War 4. So that's going to be included with the $10 monthly subscription. So, yeah, I'm surprised. Like, I swear I thought that was already a thing, that they had Game Pass, that it would apply. Basically, that would be any of the Game Anywhere titles, because you're getting access to this library on the Xbox, and so just because you have it on PC, you can get access to those.
I'm not sure Windows 10 was set up necessarily to support that, but I imagine the recent updates they've been doing.
But
Windows 10.
But I can purchase it through the Windows 10 store, though.
Right.
Like, that's where it, like, because even when I was going
but
to purchase.
But with Game Pass, were you using Game Pass?
No, I wasn't. Like, at the point, I was like, I was planning on purchasing Forza, and it's like, do you want to purchase Forza, or you can get it free with Game Pass? And, like, this is on the Windows 10 store.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why I thought this was already a thing. I was like, oh, well, they already have it. It's just it's not that great on PC because it's only the, you know, Play Anywhere titles. Like, I can't go play Red Dead Redemption all of a sudden on
right.
PC.
Well, I imagine it'll be expanding significantly, too. I think Microsoft's really kind of shifting their focus a little
I'd
bit.
I'd be down. I mean, that's yeah. not bad, but... Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see when that comes out.
Yeah, the more and more like Game Pass keeps expanding and stuff, I got to say I'm really tempted with it. I really, really, as if I don't have enough of a backlog. Like, but Game Pass got a lot of good stuff. So we'll
yeah,
see.
That's the thing. Like, if they have a lot of like first party titles, it'd be nice to go back and play some of the stuff I haven't played. But honestly, yeah. on PC, it's mainly like Forza. It's like Forza, and Gears of War and. I guess, you know, when the Halo stuff comes out, you know, that might be a little bit worth it, too, but,
yeah. All right. Well, moving on to another story about Pokemon Go clones. I don't know if you've tried some of the various Pokemon Go clones out there.
I have not. My sister plays the Jurassic Park one all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of them are pretty good. I hear the Jurassic Park one's pretty well received. The Walking Dead, which I haven't played yet, but I hear
I've seen video
there's people
of it.
Into that one, too. That one is pretty fun as well. And then there's some pretty crappy ones too. Like Garfield Go is like LOL
that
stupid.
One's never
it's
get
really
down.
Dog
shit, yeah.
So, well, I dare you to talk bad about this Pokemon Go clone because you might go to hell for making fun of this one. It is JC Go. It was designed by a Catholic evangelical group.
You don't say.
Pope Francis has apparently blessed JC Go. I'll let you guess what JC stands for. Apparently, this was a game that was made in preparation for World Youth Day 2019. That is a Catholic youth event that will be happening in Panama up in January. Obviously, you would not be throwing little balls at saints and Catholics and stuff to capture them, to enslave them in the ball to do your bidding. So it's a little bit different. So what happens is that they join your evangelization team if you can answer questions about the Bible. That's right. It's a Bible quiz game. So talk about edutainment games. I remember the years. People don't know this, but I went to church for several years, and I used to be pretty good at them Bible quizzes. I used to be able to recite the books.
You know what?
What?
I did Bible drill.
Did you?
I did Bible
What's Bible drill?
Where, like, you have to memorize whole passages and
oh, wow.
be able to find anything in the Bible. And, you know, be able to do, you know, they give you one book, you have to see what's before and what's after.
Oh.
And it was stupid.
I got to be honest, like.
But I won, like, third place in one.
Like, anytime I hear about these, like, you know, and maybe just because I'm not religious, but, like, it just seems so forced. I mean, and it's always, like, a knockoff of something. It's like, I don't have a problem with you creating, like, edutainment that's, you know, original that's, you know, religious based, but like stop knocking shit off. Like I remember when I was dating someone that was super.
You gonna tell that to the Pope? Stop knocking shit off?
Yes, I am gonna tell them. It's like, dude, fucking come up with your own original shit. You know what? Seriously. No, I used to like date someone that was like
tell
really
your
religious.
To stop touching little boys.
And I remember going to her church group and they would quote unquote jam and shit, and they would just like come up with like these religious lyrics to fucking just like normal songs, like, you know, like
they were weird
they alternate yeah basically like they, you know, they were doing alternative lyrics to, you know, My Name Is, you know, but like, you know, they were you know, my name is Jesus Christ. You
know, yeah, I know. I don't. Get it.
Yeah, it's just like I'm like, it's so cringy. It's just cringy, awful.
It makes me think of that comment that was said earlier about the edutainment games. That there's a lot of kids that kind of see right through it. You know?
Yeah, like just don't like. I get it. It's popular. But you know what? Come up with something original, not just like fucking knock it off. Like come up with something that is unique.
So you would like what if they were to rip off like Street Fighter? What if there was like, you know,
I've seen that though. Really?
They had a Jesus Christ
Street
Fighter.
They have an indie game that is is Street Fighter like types of it's all these different religious deities.
The Pope didn't like that one.
And Santa Claus is in there too, because of course. but it is all these religious deities fighting each other. So they do have that already. But that's not supposed to be taken seriously at all. It's just it's silly. But
and I don't think the Pope is a fan of that one.
I'm sorry. It just it seems very. Out of all the religions that I've had contact with in my lifetime, I feel that like Christianity, and maybe it's not Christianity, I'm just bundling all of like those religions as Christianity. So
okay.
I'm not going to like Lutheran. I fucking don't know. Catholic.
All
it's all fucking Christianity to me.
The denominations thereof.
Yes, whatever. I am ignorant. That is it. I am ignorant.
Can someone just clip that? I am ignorant. Can someone just clip that?
I am ignorant to your religions.
Can I play that on a
future
show?
But I'm saying, like, out of all of the religions that I have had exposure to, Christianity is the only one that's trying to, like, actively recruit you into it. It's, like, trying to fucking save you. And it's irritating as shit to me. Like, get it? You're happy with your religion? Cool.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? And I don't want to get into the religion debate too far. We've already gone far enough. Not all religions do that. I know of at least one that you have to ask several times to be a part of it.
So, like, I'm cool with if you're happy with it, cool. That's your cup of tea, not my cup of tea. I'm not hating you for it, but, dude, it's just it seems so forced. And this is just seems kind of forced as well. It's like, come up with something different. If you can make a fun game and also teach religion at the same time, more power to you. Same thing, like, if you can make a game that's fun that teaches you about fucking Oregon Trail, like, if that game wasn't out, we probably wouldn't know shit about,
there,
you know.
There was, kind of okay, you know, I will say, there was a game I used to play at the Mineshaft, the arcade, years ago. And they had, because, you know, that place was, like, secretly, like, a Mormon stronghold, you know, the Mineshaft. So they actually had upstairs, they had a couple of games, and one of them was Noah's Ark. And in this Noah's Ark game, you were trying to pair up animals and take them on the Ark. And I actually played this game because I thought it was fun. It was a fun
game. Exactly. That's how you get, you know, people interested in stuff, not just like, whatever. You know what? Yeah. It's fine. It's not for me. Why am I complaining about, you know, a game that's not for me?
Because you always do.
It's like me complaining about sports games. I mean,
anybody that's getting a little nerved by some of your religious discussion, you would treat any game like this, really.
I don't get it. It's fine. And this is any game that's like trying this shit. That's any game. Like even like the Jurassic Park stuff. It's like really, really Lost World. Really, really Ghostbusters. You fucking need to make a goddamn, you know, Pokemon Go clone. Just fucking come up with something original. Ingress is different than Pokemon Go. They're both AR games, but they're played completely fucking different. But everybody, because Pokemon Go's popular, everything's got to be catching some bullshit and like. Training it and trading and it's just fucking Pokemon Go. Make a different AR game.
And that's why I'm kind of excited for Harry Potter, because since Niantic's involved there too, it's going to likely be a different game than Ingress Prime. Which
exactly.
We have to kind of say Ingress Prime now because that's starting to roll out. A lot of my friends are playing Ingress Prime now. That's because that's the scanner that's going to replace Ingress in November. But anyway, Ingress Prime and Pokemon Go, Harry Potter is sure to be different. I'm really excited about it. So,
yeah, it'll be neat. That'll try because I like their track record. Sometimes I'm just buggy as fucking shit. Oh yeah, speaking of Niantic.
Oh boy,
you know. So I saw that they have that update now where it's going to be tracking your basically doing what it's supposed to be doing, tracking.
Which is coming up later in the show, so watch what you say.
But, like, to that, I had to laugh because, like, I use, a gacha or whatever, and I keep the app, I just keep my phone, like, asleep as I'm doing that, and that app crashes so fucking often in my pocket. It's just like, really? You're gonna be tracking this in the background? Because, fucking, your app cannot stay open for like more than 5 minutes anyways.
Well, I think there's a way it may still work. We'll talk a little more about that later in the show when we get to
that's
that.
That's fine.
So, all right. But for now, let's go to another story from Dark Sakura.
Yeah. So, at any rate, there is a few actually interesting things going on in the print world. First of all, we all know what Raspberry Pi is, right? Delicious.
No. Yes, a delicious tiny little thing for your TV that's basically a computer, yeah.
Basically, yeah, it is a tiny computer to make it easier to get into computing. Well, they are doing a magazine dedicated to video game development and video gaming called Wireframe. And even better, they're giving away 10,000 free copies of the first edition if you register on their website. I put in for it, by the way. It's £2 shipping to the U.S. from the U.K. But it's also going to be, money that's used to buy the print version will go back in to keep the Raspberry Pi Foundation going so that they can keep making low-cost computers for people. They also own other publications, including the Magpie and Hackspace magazine, which is under Raspberry Pi Press. But Wireframe itself is going to be more indie focused, so that'll be really good. They actually have things like mods, early access games, development tools, all kinds of neat stuff. So I did actually decide it would be worth it to get in a little bit on this and ordered the first issue, which will go on sale officially on November 8th, 2018. And we'll have an interview with the creative director for Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry 4, Alex Hutchinson. So we'll see.
Nice. I need to get me one of these things and, for science.
For science.
Absolutely. I bet a Raspberry Pi would probably be more powerful than the computer we're using now to do OLR.
You want to know what?
Can a Raspberry Pi run Windows 10?
That's probably true. But you and I need to talk.
Do we? But we always talk.
We need to repeat a conversation that we've had.
All right, let's move on. A few more stories before we get to the classic game of the week. Loki.
So apparently with the release of Soul Calibur 6, there's been, some shenanigans being done with the created character mode. So apparently I guess you can take these created characters, the custom characters online and actually play ranked matches with them, which is a little weird.
Yeah, I think that is the thing you can do. And there's you imagine it, someone's done it. You know, it took like 5 seconds for someone to do Bowsette in Soul Calibur 6. Yeah.
So now there's these troll characters that appear online because what they're doing is they're using the created character mode on PC and, of course, using a cheat engine or something like that to be able to go beyond the bounds of what is available on those sliders, which I'm glad that they have no anti-sanity check. Thanks a lot, Namco Bandai. But so now you have things like this dude that's in a giant cube, or basically the cube that they're fighting. So you can't see the person in the cube. You see this giant cube, so it's hard to judge where the person is to play that. So they've done that. And also, I guess the guy that was behind it, Abok, he was also showing off how you can do this yourself. So he made a giant apple as well. And then there's a nice little picture that I saw with someone that made a giant dick. Because the TTP in anything is immediately.
Yes.
Also, and Red Dead Redemption also saw a picture because of the wonderful snow physics that they have that you can walk and you can see the trail. Someone also walked in the shape of a penis.
You don't say.
Yes.
You don't say. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bob Coffey says lizard dongs are a big problem in Soul Calibur 6. I don't even know if that's a joke or a true statement.
It's a true statement.
It's got to be a true statement.
But, so it's kind of weird, though, that I'm assuming this is going to get patched out. They've got to put some sort of sanity checks in there, hey, is this, between this and this value? If not, flag this or whatever. I'm surprised that that's not a thing. But that's, as I like to call it at work, MVP, minimal viable product.
All right. Let's talk about something else that is probably like the minimum of what they can offer, because there's going to be a lot of problems with this, I think, and that is the PlayStation name change feature. As we have already discussed, the name change feature probably isn't going to work with a lot of old PlayStation games, because it's only going to be guaranteed to work with games after a certain date or beyond. And even then, apparently, some of the beta testers are learning that name changes may actually make you lose access to content, like paid DLC. For your games, things like leaderboard data, progress towards trophies. Not all the time. I want to stress, not all the time. But in some cases, this is getting messed up.
Why are we implementing a feature that breaks things? Like, I don't...
Well, it is a beta. Let's be fair. Betas, when we test these things that come to light, in the hopes that Sony will fix them. But it's not looking good so far. Like, honestly... Y'all just probably want to keep the names you've got right now. Maybe wait for PlayStation 5 before you start making some big changes.
What? I gotta say, honestly, like, fuck that. I mean, like, I'll just wait for the next fucking Microsoft console, to be honest. This is ridiculous.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat suggests, even if it's broken, just give me the option. Some people want to change their name that badly. Even if it's broken, give me the option.
I'm not changing my name, so I'm good.
All right. Yeah, I know. I'm in a weird place. It's like, I'm not really interested in changing my name. Like, I'm not like Rob Roberts on PlayStation, but I'm okay with that. It's fine. Plus, PlayStation allows you to link to Facebook. And like, you know, if we're going to be PlayStation friends, we're probably Facebook friends. And that's a really good way to find people. So, like, the names don't really matter when you have that sort of integration. But that's just at least my thing. All right. Interesting. We have a user in our chat at live.vognetwork.com named Protect the Second, who says, it's so funny because I made my PlayStation Network the same I have on this IRC, and they made me change it. It changed no problem. So weird that this has taken so long to make a feature. So if they don't like your name, you can change it easily. Well, that is an interesting counterpoint, is that if they force you to do a name change because, you know, you have something in your name that either you get a name clash with a famous person that wants, like, you can't name yourself Lady Gaga. So if Lady Gaga wants that name, she gets it, whether you like it or not. Or something that is quote unquote offensive. I'm not
sure. She's Stephanie.
Oh, because her name is really Stephanie. Yeah. I see what she did there. I go, so
I'd be pissed if that was the case, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, oh, well, I'm sorry, I want this name.
Well, no, but it's weird that they could force you to change it and it doesn't have any problems.
Like, if I was Lady Gaga, like, back when, you know, the PS3 came out or whatever like that, and then for whatever reason she decided to get in the game and wanted to be called Lady Gaga, they would just...
Okay, not even...
I know this is a hypothetical situation, but, yeah, like, I'd be fucking pissed.
Let's say you have, like, an offensive name. Like, let's say you took your hatred of JC Go too far, and you made a handle on PlayStation Network called...
JC Go to Hell!
Yeah, okay, you made JC Go to Hell. And somebody's going to say, you know what, Go to Hell is not a nice thing to say on PlayStation Network when kids could be on it playing Minecraft. So they're going to force you to change your name away from JC Go to Hell. So they can force you to change your name, and it works fine, apparently. So why doesn't it work in this case? It's weird. It's very strange. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf suggests they probably have a complicated manual system that they can do behind the scenes to allow the forced name change, which is not something they can replicate in an automatic way that is consumer-facing. It all goes back to the whole, they made a bad design. So, all right. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, along those lines to what Rob was saying, over on Nintendo, I found a Miss Vanjie on Splatoon 2. She even added me, though I don't know if it's just a fan or what. Video games, drag queen, likely OLR listener, yes. I don't know, Dark Sakura, is your Nintendo name Miss Vanjie?
No. I think it's just Dark Sakura.
All right, anyway. Let's move on. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us next in the news?
The Library of Congress.
Oh, the library is open?
Yeah. I'll read something about the government. No. The Library of Congress and the U.S. Copyright Office revised its list of specific exceptions to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, the DMCA. It now has expanded the ability to revive and protect older games, as well as DIY repairs to systems to break DRM to fix the hardware. basically, it's all in the name of preserving old games. In fact, they gave libraries and archives, as well as museums, the right to circumvent DRM so that video games can be preserved in playable condition. And so this year's list actually reaffirmed and expanded that a little bit. So an additional section in there actually calls out instances where online authentication is required in order to play games. Once a copyright holder shuts down authentication services, consumers now have the right to break DRM in order to play games. So yes, you can copy that floppy in order to play a game that can no longer validate you online.
And I know this was a big kind of back and forth in the gaming industry just not that long ago. So we were talking about, you know, servers coming down and so forth. So this is a pretty big deal.
Well, it goes into effect as of today. So huzzah. I'm sure there are going to be some court challenges coming up. I'd really like to see how it pans out. But for right now, do the thing.
You can copy that floppy all you want in this context and this context only.
Break that DRM for preservation.
Not the new stuff. So, all right. Only when the servers get taken offline, which...
Final Fantasy 11, woo!
Yeah, right? And some other games too, right, Logie?
Yes, other games like Warhawk on PS3. Apparently, there's a couple people that are up in arms about the fact that it was announced that they would be shutting down their servers on October 25th. As opposed to the 90-day window that they're supposed to give us, according to the back of the box. Previous games that they did shut down, like recently, not so recent, SOCOM, they shut down their servers August 31st, 2012, and they did announce that 90 days in advance, but Warhawk, not so much. I gotta wonder, though, how many people are actually playing Warhawk, so... But another one bites the dust, but I'm guessing that there was really no one playing that game. Maybe that's why I didn't do notice.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of these games probably aren't super trafficked anyway, but yeah, you never know.
Yeah. I'm sure it made somebody angry enough to write an article about it.
Destitute 100 Matt, eulogizing a bit, says, Warhawk was a fun game at its time. Oh. Well, hey, you know, thanks to this Library of Congress decision, you can bring it back.
Well, I mean, this is, it's funny, though, with the Warhawk thing is, like, they could bring it back. They just put it as part of, like, a PlayStation Now thing, and then you can play it online still. But I guess they probably just don't make enough money to run those servers. It's not beneficial for them.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk about Dreamcast games coming to the Switch. Yep, that's right. You might get to relive your favorite Dreamcast classics all over again. This coming from a recent talk with Famitsu, where Naoki Hori from Sega talked about how the Switch was getting very close to successfully running the Dreamcast titles via emulation, which would not be surprising. They were doing it on PC. They'd done it on other consoles. So why not the Switch as well? So they could theoretically remake or port certain Dreamcast games. So sure, why not? Space Channel 5 all over again. Crazy Taxi, why not? But you know what? I know it's not a Sega game, but like when I think of Dreamcast, I think of Power Stone.
Like, I was just going to say, it's not a Dreamcast game, but like Power Stone, please? The best we got was PSP, I think, had a Power Stone. It was PSP or Vita got a Power Stone collection of 1 and 2, I believe. I think it was PSP. No, it must have been Vita. I don't think PSP would have had Power Stone. But it was one of the Sony portable systems that got that. I would love a new Power Stone game. It would be awesome. Or even some of those characters coming over to like a Street Fighter game or something like that.
Yeah, at least it would be nice if somebody would like take the concept. But I guess they are...
it was PSP. Okay. Well,
I guess Capcom is talking about bringing some of their old stuff back, kind of. They had a tweet about it this week. Bobby Blackwolf suggests Seaman HD, a popular Dreamcast game that always comes up on OLR.
That is supposed to be coming. There's supposed to be a new Seaman coming. I thought they were working on a new Seaman. So, whenever that happens, was it like a Kickstarter or something? I thought that they were doing that.
Yeah, I thought I remember that being a thing that we talked about earlier, too. So, Orange Wright suggests, considering that Parappa port essentially ran on a PSP emulator, and apparently Castlevania might be a similar situation, I can see Capcom releasing Power Stone on PlayStation 4. You just need to scream. You need to passively aggressively tweet Capcom enough. No, I'm just kidding. Be respectful, but you know, let them know the demand is out there. So, All right. And yeah, Dark Tetsuya confirming what I saw on Twitter. Capcom's confirmed that they're putting Resident Evil 0, Resident Evil 4 on Switch. So you get to buy Resident Evil 4 again. But I mean, it was a really good, like, it's probably like the best Resident Evil game. So
I'll take Power Stone instead.
Yeah, I'd like to see some Power Stone.
Or I'd
as well.
Even like take Tatsunoko versus Capcom, but I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Oh, man, yeah. I would love them to bring that out on the Switch.
Now, I'd imagine licensing issues are going to make that a challenge. So don't know about that. But you can still play that in some arcades. I know Round 1 in Concord has it. So
I almost stopped at Round 1 in San Jose.
Oh,
I was
you
so tempted, but I was like, I can't stand being in this car any longer than I have to. And the kids whine. So I want to play Ticket Games.
Yep.
Like,
I'll play the crane. I'll play the crane.
I want to play Dance Rush. I want to play a game with Dance Rush. No, Ticket Games. It's like, can't.
All right. Let's take a trip down memory lane to the classic game of the week. Not Power Stone tonight, but another goodie, because every week Dark Soccer gets into the gaming vault, and usually we have to rely on Radio Magic to make it happen, but she's here in person for this very special 750th episode of Orange Lounge Radio to pick a game that she thinks, hey, brats, you should be respecting this game. And honestly, though, this is a game everybody already respects, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know people that don't not like this game unless they just dislike this genre. If they dislike this genre, then they probably don't care for this game. But if you're into this genre, you like this game. Anyway, I'll stop yapping. What is the classic game of the week, Dark Saga?
X-Men versus Street Fighter. Which, no, I haven't done it before. I checked the wiki. So X-Men versus Street Fighter, it is a fighting game. It is the big one that started the Versus saga. It came out in Japan in September 1996. And it had several different home releases, the best, of course, being on the Sega Saturn. It basically had... It was actually... I kind of look at it as a direct result of X-Men Children of the Atom. So it had the characters from X-Men battling Street Fighter characters. It was honestly a very unique game because, I mean, you had... What else was the only thing out like it at the time was King of Fighters. But this one was definitely like a combining of different genres, so it was pretty cool. It was pretty positively received, and it also gave way to the sequel Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter that came out the next year. So with this one, it is a 2D fighting game. You have all kinds of different characters. It is the first formal installment of the Marvel vs. Capcom series. So this is what started the whole thing. You start off with, you know, each character has their own life gauge. You switch between each character so that you can have some people refill their life bar in the back end. You know, you had assist moves and hyper combos and variable counters and fun stuff like that. You also had you know, your arcade mode where you can do a story against an AI, and you have your versus mode. If you do the story mode, then after you beat Apocalypse, you actually fight your partner. You're left with whoever you beat the boss with. And then you get an ending for that one character. So the characters that were in this one were Cyclops, Gambit, Juggernaut, Magneto, Rogue, Sabretooth, Storm, and Wolverine. And then for the Street Fighter characters, you had Akuma, or Gouki, as he was in Japan, Cammy, Charlie, Chun-Li, Dhalsim, Ken, Bison, or Balrog, I guess, as he was. Not Balrog. Who was he? Vega, that was it, Vega. They were all so many different people. Ryu and Zangief, so. The game was... released on for CPS 2 arcade board, and it had a direct port to Sega Saturn that was released with the 4 megabyte RAM cart. This did not come out in the US because they know shit about marketing Saturn in the US, but they were selling it at EB in the US. Sega had plans to release it in Europe that had it bundled with the expansion cartridges, but they eventually put that to the side. I said that it was going to be exclusive to the Saturn, and then because Capcom was accused of favoritism to the Saturn, but even though the Saturn versions of Street Fighter Alpha 2 were better, and the home version of Night Warriors was a Saturn exclusive as well, Capcom pulled back on that and said that they would do a PlayStation version, which was, of course, nowhere near arcade perfect. It was pretty terrible, actually. It was missing animation. It had no versus mode. Because of the memory limitations of the PlayStation, of course, there was no real, like, supported RAM cart. You know, I was assuming that they would have something that would have fit into that I.O. port in the back, but that never happened. And, of course, you know that later models never had, they removed all those extra ports in the back. Which, by the way, I found the first-gen PlayStation at a thrift store the other day. I didn't get it because I already have like three of them. But the game was positively received. It was really fun, except, of course, the PlayStation 1 was pretty much, you know, kicked in the ass for being terrible. And then, of course, it led to the sequel, Marvel Superheroes vs. Street Fighter, which then led to, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom series, Marvel vs. SNK, or Capcom vs. SNK, Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. We had more and more of these versus series coming out that just took everything we loved and made it awesome. Except for what the fuck is up with putting that comedian in Marvel Superheroes vs. Street Fighter, because that was stupid. Norimaru. I'm done.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week. A classic fighter for sure. X-Men versus Street Fighter. Good pick for a landmark episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Good fighting game selection.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including more rapid fire news. We're going to get to your emails, or email as the case may be. And we'll get to your calls, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype, when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight with episode number 750 of our show already in progress. I know you guys love all the Pokemon Go updates, but I do have to say, so during the break, I traded that unknown to Loki, and I said, just give me anything that I won't be upset if it went lucky. And he gave me a Magikarp. Guess what happened? Lucky trade.
Of course, yeah.
So now I have a lucky Magikarp, which obviously will become a Gyarados when I have the candy. And
apparently Gastly's turned into Dittos now.
Oh, can they? Oh, is the one on my house
a
Ditto?
Yeah, the one is a Ditto, yeah.
Oh, funny. And then, but you got a lucky unknown, which not a lot of people have. So there you go.
Yep.
That's fun. All right. Anyway, let's get into some rapid fire news and talk about some other quick things that have been happening this week while Mr. Smush is screaming in the other room. So I'm going to see if some kibble will satiate his fat ass for a little while. Loki.
All right.
Just bring him to me. I will comfort him.
All right. So Jade Raymond has left Electronic Arts. She was, of course, the producer of the Assassin's Creed series before moving to EA's Motive Studio about 3 years ago. And she was originally going to be overseeing Star Wars single-player game, the kind of action-adventure game, but apparently, they canceled that, so now Motive is working on a new IP in Star Wars project, but she is no longer going to be working on that because she has left the studio on to bigger and better things than whatever EA can churn out for a Star Wars game. And then, of course, for you Soul Calibur 6 players, you'd be happy to know that Nier Automata's 2B is going to be coming to Soul Calibur 6 as a DLC character. So that's pretty awesome.
All right. Last week on the show, we spent some time talking about the Intellivision Amico, and we had mentioned that more information would be coming out on the Monday following our show, and that did happen. They did end up having a trailer that came out. Most of the trailer kind of recapped things we already had known about, although you did get to see some of the personalities that would be involved with the Intellivision.
People. I didn't realize how many.
Yeah, which the one that struck me as funny, which obviously, you know, going back way back, throwback to our DDR days, but the guy that was like big with DDR's relations. I think it was like PR relations, and I don't remember what his official title was, but Jason Enos was kind of out of Konami, was like kind of like the face of DDR a little bit for a while, and he's going to be, it sounds like, what, like second in command on this Intellivision thing, isn't he?
Yeah, and so then I remember, cool. What was it, Dave Perry with, was it Shiny? He was in there as well, so, I mean, you know, lots of people that are on board with this thing. So it has potential. I'm curious to see what happens with it.
And Perrin Kaplan, who I think was involved with Nintendo for a short while. Unfortunately, I think she was there during that whole Wii Vitality Sensor debacle. But not everything's a hit. It happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, Loki, would you mind grabbing this other thing I had? Because unfortunately, I am not able to pull it up on this computer. It's having a problem.
Darn that Windows XP.
I know, right? But I know it has to do with Capcom's beat-em-up bundle, and it's getting a new patch that's coming out.
Yes, because their beat-em-up bundle was absolute dog shit on, I think it was PC, but apparently that's not the issue. It says they're going to be getting a patch that's coming in November, and it's going to be adding new screen filters, a new screen size, an option to turn off the ability for other players to join in-game sessions online. I guess that has nothing to do with address the absolute lag and bullshit that was in, I think, the PC version or maybe in the Switch version. I just remember watching a video of it where it was like stuttering like fucking crazy. But that's cool that they're supporting their games. Hopefully that whatever that issue was and whatever version that was I saw a video of is fixed.
All right. And Dark Sakura has a few stories for us before we get to releases around the world.
I do. Well, if I can make the words come out of my mouth. The next Splatfest in Japan is, or Splatoon 2 Splatfest, I should say, is about Poke. As in the confection. There is regular Poke. And there is Poke Extremely Thins, which are about the girth of a spaghetti strand.
And some of us, you've probably heard it pronounced Pocky. Some people pronounce it like that.
Yeah, because I think of Poke as in like
I think of the fish. The fish thing, yeah.
That's Poke.
I know. But you know how
I'm a dumb American, right, so I don't understand the difference.
Y'all need to speak American.
Can I make spaghetti out of the Pocky or whatever? Would it be Spake?
No. So also, Team Sonic Racing has been delayed until next year. It's been pushed back to May 21st, 2019, and no one cur.
I hope it's only to get the guy that did the theme song for Daytona to do the theme song for this game.
I hope it's to get Danica Patrick back.
Well, let's do, why not both?
It's funny. Have you ever watched that guy sing?
Yeah.
He's absolutely engaging to watch. Mm-hmm. Even like studio stuff, he's like, I'm totally into Blue Sky.
That's right.
And he's saying Burning Rangers.
He had, didn't he team up for like F-Zero song?
Yes.
He was just recently, we were talking about that.
Yes, everything he touches is magic.
Yeah. And SSGO100 Matt in our chat at live.vognetwork.com wants to point out, I care. Sonic All-Star Racing was great. I care too, but you know, you want it to be a good game.
Every little thing he sings is magic.
Right. Let's travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases. What you'll be buying a little sooner than Team Sonic Racing.
Yes. Call of Cthulhu, the official video game, endorsed directly by Cthulhu himself. Coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dream Daddy, Dad Rector's Cut on PS4.
Which I've still have never played. Is that weird? Yes. I just haven't gotten around to that.
Especially since you've cosplayed.
I know, right?
You haven't played the game yet.
Sorry to let you all down. I'm a fake gamer boy. Fake gamer boy.
Gal Metal on the Switch. Lego Harry Potter Collection on the Switch and Xbox One. Mutant Football League Dynasty Edition on the Switch. Sports Party on the Switch. Yomawari The Long Night Collection on Nintendo Switch. Death Mark on the Switch. OKKO Let's Be Heroes on the Switch. Steven Universe Save the Light on the Switch. This one should be a little bit up Rob's alley. Diablo 3 The Eternal Collection on the Switch this week.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it. It's money, but I'm probably going to end up getting that anyway.
And then for you music game fans, Taiko no Tatsujin Drum and Fun on the Switch. And then if you don't have a Switch, Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Session on PlayStation 4. That's it.
Nice. Japan feels a little light this week. I'm not seeing huge releases, at least not on PlayStation 4. Transference is the only really big release from Ubisoft on November 1st this week on the PlayStation 4. Over on the Nintendo Switch, I don't think I see anything big over there either, actually. Niko Tomo is the only game that I see on the Switch this week. So it seems to be a quiet week on the Switch, a quiet week in Japan for whatever reason. Dark Sakura.
It's busy over in Europe. So, starting with the 30th, we have Fallout 76 Beta. We have Call of Cthulhu for PlayStation and Xbox. Steep X Games Gold Edition. We have Sports Party, The Escapist 2 for Switch. 8 to Glory Bull Riding. Okay. Gungrave VR Loaded Coffin Edition. That's on the 31st. Galmetal World Tour Edition for on the 31st on Switch. It looks like on November 2nd, we have Football Manager 2019. We have Mutant Football League Dynasty Edition. Steven Universe Double Pack. Looks like Diablo 3 The Eternal Collection. Taiko no Tatsujin Drum and Fun. Jeez, Smooshy. Lego Harry
It was Potter. All this is all during the show last week, so you just have to get used to it.
Lego Harry Potter Collection for Xbox and Switch. Witcher 3 Dark Souls 3 bundle. God, there's a bunch on this. Okay, here's the last one, and Gem Smashers. There you go.
All right. Well, let's move on. You know, everything I read about the cat meowing says you can't acknowledge it because then it just it teaches them that it
It'll
works.
Make it worse. Yeah.
It works. Yeah. So, sucks, huh?
I just feed Midna and she shuts up.
No, oh, yeah. This I just fed this one. Anyway.
Oh, no. Usually I just get Midna in my lap and she shuts up.
SSG 100 Matt says Mr. Smoosh wants to do release dates. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Mr. Smoosh is coming
He's
for you.
He's going to release his poop.
As long as he does it in the litter box, fine. SSG 100 Matt suggests that Mr. Smoosh gets Australian release dates. That might not be a bad idea. Coming out this week. And. Oh, good. Other dad is home and can hopefully take care of Mr. Smoosh's incessant meowing. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway.
He's singing us the song of his people.
That's right. All right. Let's move on to the mailbag, because every week you guys send us emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
I'm quite pleased with how clean the mailbox was.
Yes. Because I knew you would bellyache if I didn't move everything in the trash.
Mail.
Exactly.
Mail.
Exactly.
Mail. I speak
Smoosh. Dar Sakura, what is in the mailbag? Participate at orangelaunchradio.com is the email address.
From our own Raginator. Hi, everyone.
As opposed to someone else's.
Someone else's Raginator. Sorry, Raginator, we're giving you to someone else. You can't be ours anymore. Kidding. Hi, everyone. Just writing this very last second email to pose a long-winded question that is arising from a shitstorm that occurred this weekend. I'm trying to help someone come up with ideas for a video streaming service. She does cosplay for cons and photo shoots. Twitch is out. Skipping. She ruled out YouTube, saying that their streaming is shit. Mixer, from what I've been told, has issues. That being said, can you think of any alternatives? If need be, we can discuss this more off air if you need more info or details. Normally, I would just close an email with my brand of humor, but this time I'll skip the humor and just say this. Slash Kitty, you have my full support, and I will do what I can to help. Doesn't Vimeo do like streaming too?
Yes. And first off, in response to talking about it off air, there's only going to be like two people to get this joke, but Raginator, nothing you ask matters unless that audio is rolling. You get the joke, Jamie? All right. Anyway, it's a Drag Race reference. Anyway. I know Loki, you're not supposed to get it. All right. Anyway, in all seriousness, Vimeo, I guess, is one. I mean, gosh, cutting yourself out of YouTube, that is a big chunk of it. I'm going to give you an honest answer, and I'm not saying this to sound like skeezy or anything like that, but OnlyFans, and I realize that is a usually thing associated with pornography. I'm bringing it up because I'm not going to shame sex workers. I don't know if that is anything at all remotely that the person is interested in, but it doesn't have to be that. So, like, I know a podcast I listened to was kind of half talking about doing something with OnlyFans. So, I mean, I just thrown it out there as an option. It is an option. Maybe doesn't Patreon allow you to unlock video stuff on their service as well?
Yeah, but I don't think it's streaming.
Oh, I thought they had like a built-in VOD thing, but you had to like actually pay for the Patreon in order to see
I'm
it.
I'm not gonna really.
Streaming adult content?
No. I just like not necessarily. My answer kind of got into that because if that's something somebody wants to do, then go for it. But I don't think it was specifically that. I think it was just cosplay featuring and things like that.
I mean, if it were me doing that, I wouldn't stream cosplay stuff at all.
Mm.
I would do more of the Instagram route.
I don't know. Instagram's a great idea, actually.
But you can do video.
Yeah.
And you can do live stuff on Instagram and Facebook.
And they have that new Instagram TV thing, too.
So there's that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. Good suggestion. And then also, Dr. Tsuya suggests, is Ustream still around? I thought maybe it shut down at some point. I think they're still there because of the PlayStation will still let you stream there, won't it? And that would be Dailymotion would be part of that as well. So I think the PlayStation 4 officially supports all those platforms, even though they're not as common. So,
and I don't know, like, as far as what type of, like, account, like, you know, what offerings you're talking about here. But, like, I know there's, like, subreddits and stuff where people offer stuff like that, and, like, photos and, you know, stuff where they can sell. And I don't know what services they use, but you can always see, hey, what are you using for your shit, and use the same thing.
Yeah, I think Instagram was really the best suggestion because I know Arya Snark, who does a lot of cosplay, that was hosting Shaking and Crying with me for a while. She's been building and building on Instagram and doing very well.
There's a few other cosplayers that I follow.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm, you know, as soon as I get back to learning my damn sewing machine, my own cosplay is going to be going up there under its own account. Which, by the way, you can follow me on Instagram as Dark Sakura. You can follow Midna as Patittles.
Tiger Claw says, Ustream is around, but it's no longer called Ustream. It's IBM Cloud Video. Well, you go, IBM's buying all this shit, aren't they? They just bought Red Hat, too. There you go. Microsoft just acquired GitHub. Everything's been bought.
Did you know that DreamWorks used to do all of their proprietary rendering software in Red Hat?
I know now.
I got to speak with somebody who graduated from my college and went on to work for DreamWorks and worked on the Sherman and Peabody movie.
Oh.
And I asked him about their rendering software. He's like, yeah, it all runs in Red Hat and it's proprietary.
Huh.
Cool.
How about that? You learn something every day. All right, if that's it for emails, I'll encourage you to send more emails. Participate at orangelaundry.com is the place to send emails in the future. In the meantime, we've got some more news stories for you guys, and we'll get to our Skype line eventually. Loki, what do you have for us?
Well, the VR is canceled. No, just kidding. So apparently, there is rumors that the Rift 2 is canceled, and apparently the co-founder of Oculus has left the company as well. Now, what this would necessarily mean is not necessarily that they're going to stop development of the Oculus Rift. It's just that what was currently the Rift 2 is now not being worked on, and probably in part with the fact that they've done stuff like the Oculus. What the hell was the last Oculus that they put out, the standalone one? I don't remember what the fuck it's called. But they have other Oculus products that are going to be available instead. So Michael Abrash basically said that, you know, these are the good old days when they're talking about, like, you know, as far as how VR has come along. But now, of course, you know, with that, they're going to be pushing for new hardware and maybe going in even a different direction with stuff like that. You know, the brand new Oculus headset that they have that's standalone. I'm curious to see, like, what's going to run on that, because I know they have, like, was it the whole Vader thing, but, like, what else can it do? Is it, how is this going to, like, tie in with Facebook again? You know, with, are they going to be doing, like, you know, some sort of VR Facebook crap on there?
I don't know if this is directly related, but I will say one thing that I've been super into that I think is neat on Facebook lately, and I know Dark Soccer is feeling this too, is that they just enabled those 3D photos. And if you have a phone that has basically two lenses, so I know any iPhone past 7 will do it, because if your phone can do the portrait thing,
yeah,
then on iPhone, I don't know what the Android equivalent is, but it's just like basically just two, it has to have like one camera and a depth perception lens as well.
Yeah. So it's called, like, the knockoff.
Yeah, well, you know, but anyway, as long as your phone has that and that data is in the picture, you can post these 3D pictures to Facebook.
They're weird, though.
Yeah, they're kind of trippy.
But did you see the one I did of my tea mug?
I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, it kind of got jacked up on that.
Yeah, basically, because it's clear glass, and the top part of the mug ended up foreground, and then of the handle, and then the bottom half that was lighter ended up as background, so it's like it's split apart.
Okay, that's so trippy.
Let me quickly read the whole excerpt that he put in his Facebook post. So much has happened since the day we founded Oculus in July 2012. I never could have imagined how much we would accomplish and how far we would come, and now after 6 incredible years, I am moving on. I'm deeply proud and grateful for all that we have done together. We have assembled one of the greatest research and engineering teams in history, delivered the first step of true virtual presence with Oculus Rift and Touch, and inspired an entirely new industry. We started a revolution that will change the world in ways we can only envision. Yet, as far as we've come, the journey has just begun. Basically talking about the good old days. And then now, when we pioneer the foundation for the next great computing platform and medium, this is our time to be pushing state-of-the-art onward and upward. Every part of AR, VR needs to improve, especially the hardware and core technology. So I think it sounds to me like the frustration may have been that, you know, now we have this, I don't know, maybe the standalone software. I think he's expecting more. Maybe we're just not pushing it enough. But I still think they need to get the kind of saturation out there first before we're like really pushing the technology, but maybe doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
Because how do you make it affordable and entry level for people to get into it, to get wanting more as far out of the hardware and everything?
Right.
I don't know.
And obviously Facebook acquiring this was never really about only games. Although, you know, it's interesting talking about kind of like other moves that Facebook makes and how it might relate to this, because, you know, we just talked about the 3D pictures thing and how actually I find that stuff to be really fascinating. I mean, it's still got issues, like Darksucker points out with her T-Mug picture, but like the picture I posted of like Mr. Smush lying down in 3D got like a ton of feedback because people were like, that is so cool. And like, it was just a normal picture I took in portrait mode. Cause you can go back to any picture in your library that you took in the past in portrait mode and it'll run its filter on it, which is really cool. Hmm. But I noticed one thing, and this is annoying me about Facebook, is that now, like, every time I open up Facebook on my phone, the games thing lights up with, like, you have one notification in games, you have this in games. It's like, I really wish I could just, like, get rid of that or uninstall it, because I'm not interested in doing games. It's going back to the whole... Remember when people get super fucking annoyed at this on Facebook? When it's like, a friend has sent you something in Farmville. A friend needs you to get their farm in Farmville. It's like you get like 20 of those requests.
Yeah, I remember blocking all that shit.
Like, I feel like Facebook is like coming back to that, but it's Facebook's own shit. Where it's like, you have a post in a new gaming
community. No, I get that all the time. And like, I've turned off notifications for most everything. Like, I don't need to know when someone's posted a picture or something like that unless I'm like... specifically choosing to be notified by that, but they keep doing that. Like, oh, you have a notification. It's like, oh, such and such has posted something on their Instagram feed. I don't fucking care about Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I don't give a shit about that. Or this person's posted a photo, or this person's posted a comment or like an update. Who cares? I don't care. I wanted to be notified by that, I would set my notifications to be like that.
All right, yeah, that's the type of crap that's going to just annoy me with Facebook and make me just uninstall it from my phone again. But it's like, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, where else am I going to show people the picture of me dressed up as Sexy Pizza, which was my Halloween costume, by the way, if you weren't already aware.
So, and then, of course, to go
back...
Those
are your Miss Peacock shoes.
They were my Miss Peacock shoes. If I'm going to spend $40 on a pair of heels, you know I'm going to wear them more than once.
So to go back to the article real quick. So the actual reason that he left was basically he had fundamentally different views of the future of Oculus that grew deeper over time and wasn't interested in the race to the bottom. So it sounds like, you know, maybe the race to make it cheaper, more affordable. I don't know. He wants to really push the VR hardware, which, you know, I'm kind of on board with that. But at the same time, I understand why they have to, because you got to get people interested in it in order to push this high-end hardware. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what the future is going to hold for this. I don't think necessarily that, you know, Facebook is just like totally getting out of VR, but maybe it's not going to be like kind of like it's like not necessarily a race to outdo Vive and PlayStation VR, which are starting to cement themselves as more like the
gaming
options.
I really wish PlayStation would come out with some new goddamn like controllers for that shit, because those Move controllers are...
I would assume, and it's a big assumption, but I would assume any of that type of stuff is being rolled over to PlayStation 5 and how VR might work with PlayStation 5 at this point.
So, speaking of PlayStation VR...
I have not played it yet.
Shame on you!
I just...
Shame. Ding, 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 ding.
We're, what, 2 weeks out from Tetris Effect?
Yes.
So it's going to happen. So I am excited. I actually was listening to the soundtrack of Tetris Effect the other day. It's so
good. Oh, they have the soundtrack online?
Yeah, because if you pre-order it, you get the soundtrack.
Ooh.
And somebody put it all on YouTube. It's great.
I do need to pre-order and get the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Let's get into some stories on Pokemon Go. The first story, which I know you guys love it when we talk about it, but, you know, it's kind of a big deal. And this one was something Loki kind of referenced a little bit ago, is that Niantic is going to be unveiling a Adventure Sync. They're calling it a Niantic real-world platform gameplay system that gives players more reason to go outside. So basically, what you're going to be doing with this is that it will kind of tie together with the health monitors in your phone, I guess, to actually give you credit for walking eggs and things of that sort, which is something that... you get the credit for the egg walking and all that, but it's tied into the health apps that are already on your phone.
Well, yeah, and I saw that, and I hope that's the case because I use those. I don't know. I think it was just a Samsung Fit and – or was it Android Fit? Or?
It's Android Google Fit, and it's iOS Health Kit. And the Health Kit
all
is –
all of my stuff ties into my health app.
Right, and see, that's just the watch.
I don't know
that,
if I used Android Fit. I use the Fitbit stuff. I think that ties in with
– sure it does.
Should, well, but I don't know.
Now I've Pokemon Go is working again on Apple Watch.
Oh, does the Apple Watch thing has never worked for me.
It's been pretty okay.
I don't need it because I have the Gotcha.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do like that
But I like this for tracking my walking.
Yeah, the watch tracks your... Like, you know what's funny is that before I got the watch, I was very much like, I don't need an Apple Watch. I don't do any of that stuff. But then, like, the exercise stuff kind of pulled me in, and I really do like that it shows me, like, oh, this is how much you've moved today. You know, get up off your butt and do some walking because you haven't really done any.
It reminds me to stand up instead of just getting so locked up in my work.
Yeah.
But now you know why I stand up, like, every hour during the show.
Oh, for sure. No, because I'm... Well, I'd already hit my 12 hours before. Because I don't, my phone stops reminding me after 12 hours. It doesn't remind me anymore.
Yeah. Mine goes from about 9 to 6. It will stop.
But then, you know, the other thing though is that I'm also doing this mindfulness challenge at work, where I think like the goal is to like do like what is it, 25 days at minimum, to do the meditation for 10 minutes, the breathing, the mindful breathing.
Yeah.
And I've done every day this month.
That's great. Now, supposedly this feature is also going to let you have challenges, kind of work with friends. There's going to be more stuff in the game. So it isn't enabled in the game yet. So SG100 Matt in chat asks, so in order for this to work, you need to have background data enabled on Pokemon Go. If it's going through other apps, I wonder if it does anymore. I don't think it does. Unfortunately, we're just not going to have a lot of answers to these questions until the feature comes out and those people over on Sylph Road tear it apart in 5 minutes.
I don't think it's going to have background data. It's probably going to be just, okay, you launch this app, the last time you launched this app was here, and how many steps or whatever distance you've covered between
And it's going to pull that from the health app.
It's just like, I use my fitness coach for logging my food, and I use my Fitbit app for everything else for activity-wise. I kind of separate them that way. I don't know why. I just do it that way.
Now Rama's trying to give you some Android advice because Darksucker and I can't really help there. Rama in chat says you have to open the Google Fit app and have it sync the Fitbit app.
Yeah, I was just about to download it. Because I don't have it installed on my phone.
Get on that. Hatch them eggs.
But like I have like so many fitness trackers. It's just
Niantic will just sell more incubators, so they're all about this, I'm sure. But I imagine this feature will probably be unlocked at some point in the next week. I don't know if they're going to make us wait all the way until the Halloween event is over, but we shall see. So lots of news around Pokemon Go right now. Not all of it good, right, Darksucker?
Fuck that. Yeah, so Niantic posts on their Twitter, trainers in Arizona, come join the Autism Speaks Walk on October 28th and raise money for SARRC, which provides research, treatment, education, and community outreach for people with autism. First of all, fuck Autism Speaks. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. It wasn't until this year that they finally got an autistic person on their board. They spent decades sharing misinformation and treating us like we have a disease instead of this just being how our brains are wired. They advocate ADA, which is like this behavioral therapy.
ABA,
sorry. It's this behavioral therapy that in some cases have been borderline abusive to kids. I'm sure there's some places that do it better. But a lot of times I will just see like completely outrageous things that are done against children. And then they, you know, started putting out all of these videos and this propaganda, really, that were saying that people with autism are a danger to their parents and a burden and that we need to be, quote, cured. fuck that. Fuck that noise. And fuck you, Niantic, for not doing any goddamn research and working with a good place like ASAN, the Autism Self-Advocacy Network, and any of these other places that are not just this money-grabbing shithole. They are on par with the Komen Foundation. They are just completely terrible. Do not give Autism Speaks any of your money. And if you are in Arizona, please do not support this event. Give your money to a good service that will do good things for people with autism.
Now, Niantic did seem to acknowledge some of the feedback, but I got the sense they kind of had to do it in a way that didn't like they weren't going to pull out of the event, but they may not be able to. Like, you know, honestly, it may be at the point where, you know, it's kind of like once you commit something, you can't really do it. You can't really necessarily just like yank yourself out, especially if the check's already been cashed. But I remember seeing a tweet from them that kind of said, "We heard your feedback and we look forward to working with like other charities in the future. Like we want to hear your feedback on what charities we should be working with," type of thing. Like, that's kind of what I drew from it. But like, I guess for maybe like folks that don't like totally like, cause this is like a good comparison in my head to kind of like understand where your anger comes from. Is that like this would be if like Niantic got an offer on their desk that says, "We want you to sign up to help. We want you to sign up for this charity that helps gay children. This charity helps gay children, and we want you to like you know, be a partner in this so that we can raise money to help gay children." And Niantic probably thinks, "Oh, that sounds like, you know, you're right. There's so many gay kids out there that get kicked out of their homes, and you know they need a place to go, and you know we want to help. We want to. You're right. We should sign off on that because that sounds good and that's doing good." And then it turns out, what did this charity mean when they say help gay children?
It's conversion therapy.
It's conversion therapy, electroshock therapy or something like that, right? That's kind of, is that a fair comparison to where your anger comes from when you talk about Autism Speaks? Is that it's like
probably not in that level of extreme, but it's just where the place that they're coming from is that they treat us like we're a disease, like there's something wrong with us to cure.
Mm-hmm.
And neurodivergence is not a disease. Mm-hmm. It is how your brain is wired.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of us who function perfectly fine in the world. I mean, there's a lot of nonverbal people. There's a lot of people who just completely cannot function. Those people could probably use more assistance. But what we need a lot is people to understand that not everyone is going to approach things from the same point of view that you do. It takes multiple levels of thought and thought processes to make the world work. If you are finding that you can't communicate with someone with autism, maybe you should change how you talk instead of asking them to rewire themselves.
How does Niantic get themselves out of this hole that they've dug with especially the autistic community? Short of pulling out, let's say pulling out, like checks been cashed, pulling out at this point is not an option. So short of that, what can they do to fix this?
Not work with Autism Speaks again. I mean, ever again. I did find the two posts that they made about that, so I'll just read them real quick. We're excited to, they basically left out all mention of Autism Speaks now. We're excited to support the SARRC in their walk, which is directly benefiting the school, and appreciate the response that many of you had about the event. If you want to read more about them and their work, we encourage you to learn here, autismcenter.org.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think they are separating themselves from Autism Speaks already, which is good. And then the second thing was the one that you said, we hear and appreciate all the feedback as well as the other recommendations for autism organizations that you'd love to see supported. So please continue to share some of the organizations you're close to. So I think that they are realizing that they did dig themselves into a pile of shit.
Yep.
And are really just, yeah.
I mean, I you know, I will say to Niantic's somewhat credit, not in this situation, certainly, but it is nice to see Niantic wanting to use their game to benefit charities. It's a worthy, I mean, they've just got to get the right charities. That's yeah. All.
One person that posted something in this in a response was it's actually exactly how I feel. And the thing is that they're still not acknowledging that SARRC still has ties to Autism Speaks. rewording it isn't going to, you know, completely change this. Especially the fact that Autism Speaks actually has a background in being involved in eugenics programs.
Mm-hmm.
And has for a while. It's completely disgusting. But here's the response I like. This is Shiroko Spooky at Yomacon. I'm extremely disturbed to think that you'd financially support or promote an organization dedicated to erasing people like me through, quote, prevention via keeping autistic babies from even being born simply because they're autistic and, quote, treatment via shock therapy and worse. So taking Autism Speaks out of it, but still using another organization that works closely with them. I don't want any of my money going to this. So when the event is over, I will buy stuff again. But I'm going to make 100% positive that there has been no association when I start, if I start giving them money again. Okay. 'Cause they're not getting a cent from me until this is over.
Getting some comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama in chat says, I don't think Niantic really knew how bad Autism Speaks really is. SG100 Matt says, I think Niantic's heart was in the right place, but they just didn't do the proper research. They've learned their lesson now.
Your brain needs to be in the right place.
Time will see. So... Ugh. Dr. C in chat says, I've heard all the bullshit Autism Speaks has been up to. I used to follow Hot Wheels on Facebook. Hey, been a fan of the diecast car since I was little, but then I found out they were teaming up with Autism Speaks on something, so I was done. So, and kind of something I expressed, we were texting about this yesterday or the day before. I was kind of expressing shock. I was like, well, I mean, I get that this is bothersome, but how does this fucking charity stay afloat? Like, that's my bigger question. Like, how is this charity even still in existence? So I guess education is a big part of that.
Wasn't I saying it has a lot to do with their PR? You know,
probably.
The fact that, and I even have an autistic friend who says that she got a lot of assistance from them,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, and doesn't see where all the bad press is coming from. But I'm like, how about the rest of us who have been a complete, or, you know, there's people in other threads I've seen on there who, when they got their diagnosis as an adult, reached out for assistance and were basically just completely ignored or told to find somebody else, like in those words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and the thing I like about the Autism Self-Advocacy Network is that their motto is nothing for us without us. And there's not many things that I will get super heated about. There are some things. This one I feel very passionately about because...
Well, sure, because that's why I really brought up the scenario about the whole, like, conversion therapy thing, like, trying yeah. to make an analogy, because if it was that, like, not that I'm not pissed off on your behalf,
yeah.
but, like, I would be really pissed off if it was, like, the scenario I
and
described.
Now that I think about it, actually it is fairly apt because, I mean, they are doing shock therapy to
yeah,
autistic kids out there.
That's what they're made me think it, yeah.
And even though he's one of my favorite actors, Jim Beaver, who was on Supernatural, I reached out to him to ask about his daughter's treatment because his daughter was, I think, nonverbal for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, she's not autistic anymore. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean she's not autistic anymore? You never are not autistic. It just means she's learned behavioral therapies. Mm-hmm. You cannot cure autism. It's not a disease.
And vaccines don't cause it.
Autism Speaks used to be on the bandwagon with
I
that,
know,
too.
I know. All right. Anyway, I'm sure we could do a whole... we have a show full of three-hour shows tonight, but I do want to move on for now. But, hey, if nothing else, the people listening tonight maybe learned something tonight, so won't make the same boo-boo as Niantic. So, anyhow, let's move on with some more news stories. Just a couple more, actually, and then we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And this may actually be the... No, I think we'll still have Skype next week, because I'll probably just use the iPad to work around it. But Skype's, sadly, a days with our show. Maybe a little bit numbered. We'll see. Anyway.
For now.
And not saying that we won't have a way to take calls one way or another. If I have to bring back the 800 number and do that whole thing, then we'll do it that way. But... We'll work on that. Anyway, for now, Loki.
So there's this massive Fallout mod that's been released called Fallout New California. It's a mod for Fallout New Vegas. And it's finished, and you can play it now, so go check it out. Apparently, it's been a project that's been in the works for about 6 years now. They have a ton of content in this. There's 42 missions in the game, 13 different endings. They said it, depending on your playstyle, it'll take about 6 to 8 hours to 15 to 30 hours if you're a completionist to play almost 17,000 lines of dialogue spoken by, they said about 15,000 of those, which are spoken by 60 volunteer voice actors. Yeah, so it's awesome. So if you're interested in checking out, go to moddb.com/mod/Fallout Project Brazil, and you'll find Fallout New California. I'm thinking about checking this out.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Because I'm not picking up Fallout 76, so maybe.
A different way to experience Fallout in the next few days, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right, I got one more Twitter fuck up for you guys to close out the news tonight, and I'm sure you guys have heard of this one, and this one is... this one's shitty. There's really no way around this one. And it comes from goodoldgames.com or GOG.com, as they're known on Twitter. And they wrote a tweet earlier this week that said, "Classic PC games hashtag won't be erased on our watch." Yeah, how's that for some use of hashtags? Well, the reason why, and they deleted that tweet, and the reason why that was a shitty tweet is because hashtag won't be erased is a Twitter hashtag that has been used a lot by the trans community in response to a lot of the news that has come out of our government about how basically the president and their some advice counselor, I don't know all the legal names of things, but in a nutshell, the president and the people around him want to basically legal define as two genders that are defined by, you know, what's in your pants. And it's gross. And I want any trans folks out there listening to know that I support you. You're valid. This is bullshit. And that's why I think it pissed a lot of people off when GOG.com decided to make a joke out of it. You know, I mean, the second sentence there. Yeah, how's that for some use of hashtags? Fuck off. Like, how dare you? Go fucking sell games. Like, what? Like, do you think you're fucking edgy like Wendy's or Arby's or something? That's not edgy. That is not, like, this is this very...
That's cunty.
It's one way. But, I mean, this is a serious issue that, you know, this is not the time. Like, if you want to look at, like, how to, like, be... ruffle feathers or whatever on Twitter, go look up Wendy's account or something. Wendy's would not do something stupid like that. Well, at least I hope they wouldn't. You know what I mean? So it was just, it was really gross. And what makes it worse, like it would be one thing if this is the first time this has happened, but it's not the first time this has happened. So the social media team at Good Old Games and CD Projekt Red, which this all kind of runs up to, is they run the Good Old Games, and of course they're making the Cyberpunk 2077, which was where one of the other bad tweets came from, was that account. The social management at this team like needs like a good hard scolding, probably firing, but you know, some serious education on how to conduct themselves online and what is and what isn't appropriate. And I think there's a lot of people calling for some serious change over there. Or they're going to pay for it in other ways, such as the fact that as a result of this, the makers of Journey Quest, Zombie Orpheus, canceled their contract with Good Old Games. They, as soon as, you know, this happened again, they basically said, the CEO, Ben Dobbins, said, quote, "The harm that hate speech does to people who are under immense threat from governments, private individuals, and corporations is incalculable. It's downright sociopathic to demean our friends and allies in this way. There is absolutely nothing funny about any of it." And that's...
it's the same reason why I won't buy any of the Witcher games or that new Cyberpunk game coming out. That company has done the same shit, too.
Yeah. I would be a little more comfortable buying that stuff because here's the thing. Like, the social media team is bonkers crazy with this stuff. I don't want that to invalidate necessarily the hard work of all these people that are making the game, the hundreds of other people. But that social media stuff needs to change, and it needs to be communicated to us how it's going to change. But, and if that doesn't happen, then we have no other choice.
But I'm not going to give my money to a company that thinks it's okay to do that. And honestly, I...
right, and they need to come out in very plain language and not these runaround tweets. They need to come out in very plain language and say how it's going to be different, in
but
my opinion.
I'm not going to support a company that allows that, even for the sake of the employees. I'm sorry. Because they're just going to... if we keep doing that, they're going to keep doing that shit. You have to vote with your money.
Fair enough. going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100Matt says, GOG needs to delete their account. That would be a good resolution as well. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I was pretty shocked when I read this story. And Dartitsuya says, I remember that one about Cyber 2077 months ago. It was probably the same asshole. Yeah, so... if you're going to do social media, like remember you are representing a whole company, and stop being edgy for clicks. And if like don't like if you're going to be edgy, do it the way Wendy's does it by talking shit about McDonald's. That's funny. This not funny. So anyway, what's your favorite Wendy's tweet?
I don't know.
Probably, you know, the most famous tweet of all time or the most retweeted was the guy that asked for the chicken nuggets from Wendy's. I guess that was as annoying as that whole thing, I think, ended up becoming. I think that was a pretty epic thing on Wendy's behalf. I don't know.
What happened with that? Did he get chicken nuggets?
I think he did get his chicken nuggets, yeah. But he actually tweeted Wendy's and was like, how many for free McNuggets, or not McNuggets, but whatever, just free nuggets for life or whatever. And Wendy said it was, I don't know, 18 million, and he got like really close. And Wendy's, I think, gave him the free nuggets anyway. And I'm sure it was all done on the Ellen show, because that's how these things always resolve themselves. Anyway. We are going to open up the Skype line right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight or perhaps something else, while we wait to see if any calls come in, I don't know if we have any last minute stories.
There was some pictures of some prototypes that apparently Microsoft's been working on as far as controllers that would attach to some sort of phone or tablet device to go along with this whole streaming service that they were going to be doing, the Project X Cloud. So they have some prototypes that show like some controller things that they look neat. I mean, look like they might be comfy. It's kind of reminds me a little bit of like the Switch dock a little bit, because they have basically this piece that goes in the middle that you would put the two halves into to charge it, and they would just clip onto the side of your phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, I guess.
So curious where Microsoft's going to go for their next console. I wonder if they're really going to try to do something a little more radical with their next console, like a, you know, how like Nintendo did the whole, you know, take it anywhere you go type of thing. Like, what is Microsoft going to try to do something that really sells that ecosystem with PC, or like, what are they going to do for their next consoles? Because I think we all expect the PlayStation 5 is just going to be like more PlayStation 4, but like more parts, you know, that whole type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe VR integrated a little more or something, but. You know, it's interesting to guess where Microsoft's going to go next.
I'm just curious where everything's going to go, because mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know, we'll probably have it all figured out by the time we get to episode 1000.
Probably will.
You think
who would have thought that the Miko was going to take over the market and become the dominating force of everything? That's like, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Do you think this show's going to get to 1,000 episodes?
Probably.
How many years is it going to take to do 200? That's about 5 more years of episodes. So we got 5 more years left in us?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? We have to make sure all the kids are old enough to take over the show properly once we're done. We have to make sure, like, Julian, your whoever else's kids wants to come in, take over the show, that they're, like, 18 and they're good to take it over. So.
Fuck if I'm going to let those kids take over the show. Over my dead body.
Let's see. Mega Man X400 says, I tried calling on Skype and it doesn't seem like it's working. Uh-oh, that's not good.
We should let Midna and Smoosh do the show.
Let me... I'm going to restart Skype. Actually, one thing I always do is I try to call from my phone. I'm going to try calling from my phone and see if that works. And then if it doesn't, I'll give it a good old trusty reboot.
This is going to be...
So, in Google Fit news, apparently it's not compatible with the Fitbit, so they can fuck right off, because...
Really?
How the fuck am I going to... If you have two apps open to track mileage, fuck that shit. Seriously.
Okay, yeah, I just called the Skype line, it worked fine. Just make sure you're using Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype, and it should work. But we'll see. But I did call a test just now, and it worked. Any other stories you want to get to, Loki?
There's speculation that the PlayStation 5 will have a built-in VR functionality to let players track their movement without an external device.
Hmm.
So apparently, according to some patent information.
Interesting.
That's neat, I guess. There was an exploit in Grand Theft Auto V that allowed hackers to kill people in single player. If you're connected to Rockstar Social Club, because apparently they were hacking using the admin tools that apparently they had super user powers that could do all sorts of shenanigans, and that did get patched out, thankfully. But it was a thing.
Yeah, multiplayer mode is no fun to be fucking around with on that.
But this
stuff.
Was single player, though. This was not multiplayer.
Oh, I thought
this
was
in single player that people were getting hacked.
Yikes.
If they were, you know, online.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, not fun there either.
Glad they closed that out.
Ukulele's getting a 64-bit mode. It's going to look like the Nintendo 64 or Banjo-Kazooie, since, I mean, that is what it's kind of...
So it's getting a retro filter.
Inspired by, yeah. Retro filter with all of the blurry, low asset, you know, low resolution assets.
And, fantastic.
So that's kind of neat, I guess. Another completely random thought. I was looking at release dates coming out, and did you know that the same day Smash Brothers comes out on the Switch, Katamari comes out as well?
Oh, no, I didn't realize they shared the same
and
day.
And it's on PC, so I'm totally picking that bump on PC.
The Katamari game's on PC?
It says it's on PC.
Oh, that's great. I'm excited for that.
Because I'm looking for mods. Fuck yeah, new levels. Hell yes.
Yeah, they're going to
mod
the
shit out of
that.
You don't want to support your game, other people will fucking support that shit. They'll break that shit apart and make it awesome.
Oh, that's really exciting about PC.
Be rolling up giant dicks in no time.
What to do, mods on PC or portability on Switch? It's hard to decide.
You buy the Switch version, then you wait for the sale on PC because Switch games never fucking go on sale.
Okay.
And you can just do that, and you get both.
All right. That's some critical thinking. I like that. Dark Soccer, when are we going to get to see you next here in studio?
Another fourth Sunday.
Another fourth Sunday. All right.
We'll see.
Well, I think I don't know if Skype is broken or what. Even though I just did a test call, it worked fine. Something must be going on. So it's nice to see Skype on a Windows XP going out with a whimper.
Oh, and then, of course,
here on episode 750
with us, there was a big old 4chan Smash Brothers rumors thing this week. You know, allegedly there was artwork, marketing artwork that was leaked, showing the full banner with all the characters in there. And so
crazy the amount of investigation.
Guesses based on what they saw. A Shadow, the Hedgehog, Banjo-Kazooie, Isaac, Ken, Mock Rider, Geno, and Chorus Kids. We'll see. I mean, it's coming from 4chan. Come on. Come on. We're only a few months away. Just wait and see.
I know that's where my head is at, is that, like, you know, oh, they've got these, you know, leaks and things and all this analysis.
There's
and it's like
so many fake leaks anyways. I mean, remember the whole Rayman leaked it with the last version of Smash that Rayman was going to be in the game.
Is it really going to change your perception on if you're going to buy the game or not? Like, are you really going to change your mind based on these last character leaks?
No.
Like, you know, all the people hooping and hollering, if Geno isn't in the game, I'm not going to buy it. It's like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Hey, we got a call coming in. I'm sure this person is helping us test the line or something, but let's see. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
I think it works.
It does work. I knew it worked. I don't know what's going on. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's the host of the one and only Bobby Blackwolf show here on our show.
That's right.
That's right. Usually you let us in at the end of your show, but it's nice to have you here, especially on a big episode number like this.
Yes, yes. 750. This was a momentous episode.
It was.
Just because.
It was
They're all momentous episodes.
Very special. We did a lot of special things.
Yes.
What's on your mind tonight?
Nothing. I'm actually just trying to get stuff to work on Windows 10. Because trying to get, like, a microphone to work with no delay, that's the thing that kills me.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing that's always made me nervous about the Windows 10 upgrade is the whole delay and all that stuff. But there's a whole... But then money and that you're locked into one system.
But GarageBand is better.
I don't know. For what we do with live, I don't think it is. Mm. If this were taped, absolutely.
But nope, it would work great for live.
Yeah, especially with the Twitch and all that other stuff. I don't know if it's going to be the right option.
I know how to make it all work.
Come up with a proposal. We'll look into it. All right. Kaiju Don Chat says, my mic never delayed on Windows 10.
I think it's because this is the onboard one, because like I'm seeing like other things that are like, well, if you use a different sound card, so I may, like, when I build a new machine, actually put like a different sound card in there, and that may help, because that's what I've got in my Windows 7 machine.
Yeah. So
and I don't think my work would let me use my Mac laptop for this type of stuff, because that's the only Mac I have.
Yeah. And I was going to say, with all the Windows stuff I was looking into, I was going to look at getting a USB Sound Blaster, because my last idea was getting a laptop, you know, because they make laptops that are beefier than what we run OLR on now. So get a laptop, use a USB Sound Blaster card with it, redo the mixing board to go all digital with it, and a little more, because we can probably scale it down. We have like a full on like music like mixing board. It probably doesn't need to be as good as what we have. Kind of scale that back and make it digital, and I think it'll be great for OLR.
Yeah, I'm looking at all this stuff too.
Yeah. So it's going to be some big changes ahead, but hopefully we'll be able to get that settled in the next month or so. Probably it's something I'm going to be looking to do during like the Thanksgiving break, so we'll see.
Yeah, and everybody's like, my mic didn't delay in Windows 10. What happens is, like, when I'm listening to it with headphones, because I like to hear my own levels.
Sure.
In Windows 7, I just hear myself, and it doesn't mess me up or anything. I'm like, I'm just a little louder in my ears, which is great. Mm-hmm. In Windows 10 and Windows 8, actually, because my laptop is Windows 8 still, because I never upgraded it to 10 because it couldn't. I didn't have hardware drivers for it. It would be it's like not even a full second off. It's like maybe like a fourth of a second. It's like 200 milliseconds maybe. That's when it would come back, and it's just enough of an echo to mess with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have, I mean, like here in studio, we don't use headphones. We actually have like speakers, but technically our own voices go out through the speakers. Thankfully, there's no lag. So it just kind of sounds like our voices are amplified here in the room a little bit. But it's how we hear you guys on Skype and the various onboard noises in those very limited places where we do like YouTubes. Or like say the intro. I guess the intro is something that's every week, you know, or the little music beds that happen over Classic Game of the Week. We can hear all that in studio, and that kind of helps us a lot.
Yeah, and Kaijudo says, you know, use virtual audio cables. You can set the delay. The problem is you can't delay it back in time. You can delay it forward in time, but not necessarily back in time. So if virtual audio cables doesn't get it until 100 milliseconds after it's come out of your mouth, there's nothing it can do to make it go back 100 milliseconds.
Right.
Unless you're the doctor.
Which may be the only way. So
it's a fun, but like music producers have this issue all the time, and so they've been talking about this because it's very hard to do karaoke like this.
Yes,
for instance, and you know, anybody that tries to like record music has these kind of issues. And I know Mac is better on this stuff, but I can't afford a Mac. And I've got a Mac here, and I'm sure it would work great, but my work would really get upset at me. For using my Mac for this stuff.
You have to separate work and play.
I know people, though, who do all their stuff off Mac Minis running Logic Pro 10. Mm-hmm. So, and I already own a copy, so.
I was looking in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw does point out that the virtual audio cable is good for audio, but not for video. So, and that's obviously an important direction for the future of what we're doing as well. So, it's got to be able to do both, which is what we're looking into, so.
I was trying to set something up to stream tonight from that machine, and I'm not sure if it's done yet or not. But I finally, like, I'm like, okay, I don't monitor myself when I'm streaming video, so it'll be fine. But I hadn't actually hooked up one of my good mics to this machine yet, so I was trying to play around with that. I'm like, can I get the delay done? Because this is a fast enough computer.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the stream after the show tonight? Even though I know it's a podcast and they'll miss it, please pimp your stream.
So I was considering if I can get everything set up, and I don't have, like, because I haven't hooked up this camera to it yet, and I finally got that working. Windows 10 thankfully turns off all the privacy on your microphone and your camera, so other apps can't access it. It's off by default, or at least it was for me. So I'm like, why can't I see my webcam in open OBS? And that's why. So pro tip if you can't get it working. But I just got Forza Horizon 4 on my PC up here. So I've been playing it in 4K on the Xbox One, but I've got it on the PC, so I think I may be able to stream it tonight. And if anybody wants to Horizon Convoy or something, we can meet up in Discord or something
Nice.
And do some multiplayer. I tried to do some multiplayer. I jumped into Brad from Pod Culture's game, and he immediately was like, "No, I don't play online with other people." Okay. And so I was like, "Okay."
You can play however you want to play. That's right.
Yep. He's like, "I didn't realize I was online," and he just like went offline.
Yep. What was I going to say with all the that stuff too? Make sure, of course, you're following Bobby over on Twitch. And I need to level myself up on Forza to get all to that stuff, because I've kind of slacked
I'm
on Forza 4.
Yeah, I'm still not quite there yet either.
Yeah, so I'll probably need to play some of that this week to at least unlock that stuff.
We could probably still do an adventure mode thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'll be around tonight. I think I'm doing an errand after the show. So, but I wish you success with your stream. And, of course, thanks. Yeah, I know you haven't been there for all 750 episodes, but honestly, you've been there for the majority of them. And it's always fantastic having you around, Bobby.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Best of luck with your show, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Just not on Skype and Windows XP.
No.
All right. Later.
See ya.
All right. Let's see. I wanted to get to a question in our chat room because Mega Man X or Delvin was trying to get in. He couldn't. So he wanted to ask a question kind of like over this. So I'll get to this. He says, I guess I will ask my question here to you guys. What are your guys' thoughts on the increase in IRL streams on Twitch? With TwitchCon this weekend, I was able to watch a few people streaming from there. And I felt like I was there, LOL. I should have watched more streams from TwitchCon. I didn't even think to do that. But again, I was like really busy yesterday, so I didn't really have time to do it either. What do you guys think about like watching IRL streams and how IRL is really growing a presence on Twitch?
I don't know quite what you mean by IRL, like real life stuff, like
yeah,
people non-gaming drawing or stuff.
Yeah, non-gaming. Yeah, like exactly. People ASMR is really growing.
I fucking hate ASMR.
So here's the funny thing. Like when I first did my experimental stream, I was like, okay, I'm going to stream myself playing DDR. So I did it with my phone using the Twitch app. Guess what? You can only do IRL crap in there. You can't categorize a stream as gaming. So I had to do, I think I did like dancing or something. Like, because there was no way for me to say, I'm playing a fucking game, you asshole. Like, put game on here. But yeah, you can only do IRL stuff on there, so I don't know. I don't watch any of that stuff, but neat, I guess. I mean, I could see myself like eventually when I get set up, it'd be fun to like build Legos and shit on stream, and I know people do that. They'll put together sets and stuff, and that would be fun. I'd be down for that.
I used to draw on live stream.
I'm not the biggest fan of like a talking head just sitting there reading their chat and answering questions. I don't think that content is particularly compelling for me. I know there's a lot of feeds that do that, and if you're having success with that, good for you. It's just not compelling for me. But like, I am loving the game show stuff, right? I mentioned a few weeks ago we had Buzzer is really growing over on Twitch. That's something I really like to watch. So I like the TV stuff that's growing more and more. We do have another call coming in, so I do want to get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It is Ranma.
Hey, Rama. It's good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
It's good to hear from all of you. It's good to have the entire squad back together, you know? Live concert, one night only type, you know?
I like my laser discs. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is. It's a bummer we can't do this every week, but, I mean, life sucks sometimes. It is what it is. We work around the challenges life gives us.
I know. I mean, I've been doing my show via Skype for, like, the last 5 years, and mm-hmm. we do have to rotate people out here and there. So, you know, we just roll with it.
Yep, you got to roll with it.
A couple of things. I'll be on my merry little way. Number one, I'm a former band geek.
Nice. You're in good company.
I played the trombone from grade 4 to 7.
Okay, good call. That's around. I played the clarinet from around 6 to 12.
Good lord, you don't want to know how long I was doing band.
Your whole life.
I started on alto sax in 6th grade, moved on to contra alto clarinet in 7th grade, played tenor sax, alto clarinet, contra alto clarinet, went into jazz band in college. And played in symphony for 3 years. I was at the University of South Alabama.
Nerd.
And then I moved out here, and my saxophone got destroyed in Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah, I loaned it to somebody who was a wind major.
Bastards. How dare they?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not much you can do about the hurricane, but my clarinet is long gone. I think it ended up going to one of my nieces who doesn't even talk to me, so whatever. Whatever. It is what it is.
I was about to say the same thing, but moving right along with the whole Skype thing. Oh, good Lord almighty.
What? What are you having a laugh about?
It's laughing from that, from what you're stressing with. I lived it, and it was not fun. When Microsoft said Skype was 7 was being discontinued, I'm like, okay. I had to find out all of my stuff, which version of Windows everybody's running, and figure shit out. And I'm like, let's try doing this show on Discord. Within the first 10 minutes of it live, the lag was just atrocious. During the musical break, we jumped back on the Skype and just rolled with it. Because at that time, they were still trying to make Skype 8 a little bit nicer, a little bit better. So, you know. But now, it's good. The only thing is that you can't tell. It automatically adjusts your volume when you're talking. And I keep disabling that, but it turns itself back off.
I hate that. Why do things turn themselves back on? Like, what?
But I will say this, when I play back the episode in the edits, it's solid going across, so I can't complain.
I know some podcasters are going to Discord, and Discord actually has like a robot out there that you can download. Somebody, you know, it's not an official Discord thing, but it'll actually help you like record podcasts, which is interesting. It's not great for live, but it for the recorded stuff, it's like another option.
Had my other podcast, we use that. To find out, I wasn't getting like links to the episodes that they were recording. Come to find out, the people running that bot shut it down.
Oh no.
Yeah. So now if I can't record the show, whoever's on it has to either fire up Audition or Audacity to record it, dump it to me in OneDrive or Dropbox, and I do the edits and upload.
Mm.
But I will say this. When you're going to Windows 10 and Skype, you may have to definitely switch to a USB mixer or a USB sound card, because I noticed with a lot of regular sound cards, when recording, it doesn't pick up both sides of the conversation.
Ugh.
See, I mean, but it's not that bad. I mean,
I know, but do you see why I've been stuck on Windows XP this whole time? Because it works. It works for what I need it for.
I know, but when you, I'm not trying to shill. Not trying to shill.
No,
when
I know.
When you step into 10, you're going to be like, why haven't I not done this before?
Maybe. I'll be more like, everything is different in herp derp technology.
Well, you have my number. You know you can message me or call me anytime, and I'll give you that text support.
I know. Anytime about anything?
Oh, you know it, baby.
All right. Rama, anything else on your mind tonight?
No, that's it. No, that's basically is it. I'm just getting ready for the work week and how we do, you know.
All right. Well, best of luck. At least you got Halloween this week, so something to mix it up a little.
Halloween and 3 bottles of booze in the freezer.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, my friend. I'm going to let you go.
You too. And Rob?
Yep.
Stay fabulous.
I always do.
That's what I'm talking about, honey.
All right. Bye. All right. I think that's going to do it for the Skype line tonight, and we're going to wrap up the show tonight. As we always say, though, at the end of OLR, if you enjoyed what you heard, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air out there and spread around the world. So please help us spread the word of Orange Lounge Radio, because clearly we're not going away anytime soon. Thank you, as always, again, for listening and participating with the show tonight, whether it was live here at the Voice Geeks Network or via our podcast feed. A nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, at a place like iTunes or wherever you're listening to this show. Those go a very long way, so please help us out. We would really appreciate it with some good reviews for OLR. Dark Sakura, thank you for being here tonight. Missed having you live in studio, although many people don't realize you're actually in studio. You're just not here Sunday nights. You're usually here, you know, on Friday or something, making some magic with the radio. And it was nice to have you here on a Sunday night. So
it's good to be back. I'm just really kind of tired of how my schedule is working. So
yeah, I understand.
We'll see what happens.
But look at you. You're a career girl, and things are moving
February in the direction you want to. February is when our next change is, so we'll see what happens.
Fingers and toes crossed. Well, any final thoughts for our listeners in the meantime?
Your cat's loud.
I know. Did you just hear Alan yelling? Shut up. Oh. That's good.
I gotta go to the grocery store, too, to get butter for more cookies.
More cookies. My final thought tonight is thank you, Dark Sakura, for the Girl Scout Cookie Thin Mint Coffee.
Yes. The moment I saw that, I was like, heck yeah.
Fantastic. And just what I needed this evening.
Awesome.
Last but not least, Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I guess I'm going to try to figure out how to install 4th Mix Plus on my machine this week. And I am going to work on my StepMania setup to also get that installed at some point. And then follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/LokiOLR.
All right.
So we can get that affiliate status for some reason. I don't know.
For biddies.
For they biddies, I guess.
Gave it to me for no reason.
Because you're special.
But I'll be streaming tomorrow, hopefully. I've been trying to stream every day. Like, Friday, this is my... I guess I'm just not used to... Because I've been playing more difficult songs. I've been playing heavy songs, which I may cut back on that a little bit because I've been failing a lot of that shit. Because especially doing, like... I'm not used to playing for, like, an hour straight playing, you know, heavy nonstop songs. Because it's 4 songs in a row, just nonstop. Like, and the other day I had, like... Hey, it's Paranoid Evolution, followed by somewhat of an easier song, followed by, you know, what the fuck was it? It was some other fucking hard 5th Mix song. So I was just like, okay, I can't. Like, I literally feel like my heart's going to explode at some point. So not to die on stream, I have to stop what I'm doing.
Good call.
You know, but so let me kick it back a little bit easier. But 4th Mix, you know. There's going to be plenty to go through. I don't know if I'll have it installed tomorrow, but I'll read up on it. I still have to burn the disc for it. So, well, actually, I technically have 4th Mix. I think I actually have a legit 4th Mix Plus. I have almost all the mixes in a box next to the machine that you can't see off screen. But I could probably reinstall those. But yeah,
all right,
super disc.
All right, that's it. We're going to see you in 7 days, and we'll do this all over again with another episode of OLR. Until then, happy gaming, have a safe week, and don't be a dick to people online. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.